This week, Valve learned of the existence of blast beat drummers, noticing the movements tracked by Vive Lighthouses was too stringent for very real possibilities by human players. This is just one human-powered story. Stay tuned for plenty more news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 764 for this February the 17th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined here in studio by Techmaster Loki. How are you, Loki?
I'm here.
You're here.
Yes.
You made it sound like you're almost not here. Are you doing okay?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm fine.
You're just present in the moment.
I am present.
Did you have a good week?
Yeah, it's all right.
Good. You ready to go with the show? I noticed you have a Red Bull. Need a little energy, a little pick-me-up today.
That's more of just to avoid a headache.
Ah.
Because if I think I get like caffeine withdrawal headaches, usually if I don't drink like a soda a day.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm very tired today because I've had a very busy weekend. I was doing hosting, so I hosted a gig on Friday. I did a thing last night. So I'm really like, oh, I'm tired today. But thankfully, I have my version of that. I have coffee. So that's very good. Anyway, as you know, Dark Sakura has been out for a little bit. She hasn't been able to join the show due to a conflict in her work schedule a little bit. So we really miss Dark Sakura, and we hope she'll come back real soon to the program. Wait, what was that? Is there a ghost in this house?
Ooh.
What was? Oh, my gosh. She's here live in studio. Dark Sakura.
She's squishing your head.
Jamie Summers squishing my head once again.
Hi.
On the cam because I was unable yet again to get everything organized for a over-the-shoulder shot.
Hi, Rob.
Like, stop it. It's a podcast. The podcast listeners can't see you putting unicorn faces.
She should
on
take a hand puppet form in the show.
I know. There's all sorts of ideas. I want to. The idea is that the camera's going to move back over there, so you'll just be able to see like her back. And if she chooses to wear a wig, you'll see the wig.
I'll bring my Dr. Claw arm.
And then yeah, exactly. It'll
but,
be a Dr. Claw.
But I've got like a bunch of wigs now, so
good.
You know, I could bring the extension cord I have for my USB since I'm not using the rear camera on my cabinet.
Well, you can't use them with webcams.
Sure you can.
Well, but it really degrades quality.
No, it doesn't.
Really?
Depending.
12 feet is what you can can do, or it's like 16 feet. I should know because I'm using I have the
You're
exact
actually,
same
okay,
setup
right,
with
right.
that. I mean, come on.
All right, then let's compare notes later and we'll make it work. Well, I was more preparing for Dark Sakura's return period in March when.
But I took a day off anyway for reasons.
That's right. So, well, I'm not complaining.
You think I like working on Sunday?
Of course not.
So now I'm going to be working on Saturday instead. I'm going to 4x10s at my job.
That's not so bad, though. You'll have that extra day off.
Thursday, Friday, and Sunday off. I can deal with that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Wow. Everybody in chat is like reading me to filth over the extension thing, which goes against a lot of the stuff I read online.
There's a limit.
Do you believe everything you read on the internet?
Yeah.
There is a limit. Yeah. You can't go over, I think, I don't remember how much it is. It's like, I think like 16 feet or something, but like, it should be, I have, it's a 5-foot extension cable, and then I think the one that I had with it was 8 feet.
All right, live tech support here on Orange Lounge Radio.
It works.
With dummy Rob Roberts, who can't
Why
get everything
am I not
going.
Not seeing anybody chat.
That's
this
all right.
is crazy.
If she really wanted to, Darkstalker could come sit over here on the couch, but I don't.
And that's an if I really want to, and guess who doesn't really want to?
There you go.
That would be
mwah. That's it, and that's the other key thing, so it's fine.
So, are people actually talking in the chat room? Because I don't see Jack.
Yeah, are you in the VOG Network chat room? Because remember,
yeah.
To...
Oh, I'm on the Orange Lounge Radio one. It says VOG Network.
Because it's hosting VOG Network, but you actually have to be at twitch.tv/VOG Network, where we do tape live
That's
every Sunday
am.
Night. At 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after
I know
the
where
Bobby
y'all
Blackwolf
be.
Show.
Y'all certainly aren't here.
All right, well, I don't...
there we go. Okay, well, I said I picked stream chat, so whatever. We'll see.
All right, well, hopefully you'll see it come up. You won't see all the history. You just see the new stuff that comes up.
Well, no one in America pays attention to history, so there we go.
All right, you got it? You see me saying hi there in
yeah,
chat?
Yeah, that's
okay,
all
good.
I got. I guess I'll deal with just Rob.
Wow, it's a tech support episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Chat rooms and webcams, extension cords, oh my.
Well, apart from that, I do have a teensy amounts of plugs to do, if that's cool.
I suppose. How much are we getting paid?
We're not, but we owe these people big for past good deeds done in our direction, and they're our official lesbians.
Fair enough. Oh, yes. Well, I miss those folks. I miss them a lot. I know they used to be at the show all the time, so yeah, I miss them.
Well,
they moved. You see, if they haven't been on Orange Lounge Radio in a long time, because they moved to...
they live in the snow.
Yeah, they live. They moved to the North Pole, essentially. Yeah.
Well, at least some lake up north.
The other side of the wall.
So
not that far north.
So... Chris and Megzy are doing an episodic podcast of their D&D games called Let's Be Legendary. It is a steampunk Wild West setting that follows bounty hunters who are romantically involved. There's a half werewolf and a grave domain cleric who likes to screw with people's heads. They have 36 episodes out and do a new one every Monday. They put it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher, and you can get to all the stuff at letsbelegendarypodcast.com. And of course, best of all, it is highly LGBTQ etc. plus friendly. So and also Chris says say hi to Rob. Hi, Rob.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, they I'd say check them out. They're really talented, very, and there's, you know, art for it and everything, and they have a Facebook group that you can follow. It's really just good fun.
And honestly, they were my all-time favorite April Fool's prank we did on this show. Now, it was probably like 2006 or 2007.
Like we did the Giggling Lesbian podcast.
Yeah, but it was the Giggling Lesbian Gaming Show was what we did. And it, honestly, in retrospect, like if you were listening to it now, you'd probably go, ooh, this is problematic or whatever. But that's part of what the joke was all the stereotypes about, you know, the girl gamers and lesbians and stuff. We kind of did like all of that in just a big 20-minute joke, and it was really funny. So the listeners seemed to get a kick out of it. So,
but on top of that, you know, they're just really lovely people.
Of course.
And so, you know, go out and you know, it's kind of a unique type of podcast. It's one that we don't get a lot of. I mean, we do get episodic content out there, but we don't get a live D&D game too often. And on top of that, they're very creative. It's just a lot of fun. I think everyone should check them out.
I only wish they'd started their gig like 2 years sooner, because when Vogue had the radio feed, I was dying for some type of like D&D serial type of like podcast.
We could probably still make it work somehow.
Well, but now there's no radio feed. It's just Twitch, so...
We could probably still make
play
it
on Twitch.
We'll have our people call your people, and all people will all discuss people things.
And then there will be the Hokey Pokey.
And then they have the new,
that's what,
like,
it's all about.
Was it Stranger Things D&D starter set that they have now?
I saw that.
Oh yeah,
the
I heard
Demogorgon.
About that. It'll be fun. I think as a token, maybe can we have like a monster named after me on the next episode? Would that be appropriate? I shouldn't try to dictate the narrative.
Dear friends, make a monster called Rob.
Yeah, we want a cameo.
And it's iridescent with a horn.
All right.
We don't know where the horn is, but there's one.
And what Bobby is saying in our chat, and by the way, I think we may actually have a cameo from, that's got to be Chris in the chat right now. Saying I will do that. Good to see you. Bobby in chat says, I think half the podcasts of the Dragon Con podcast track are D&D live plays. It's gotten really popular in the last few years. Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely a growing genre. Well, and that's it's a great thing. I know people love to listen to that stuff.
Well,
so.
If I've learned anything from the gaming industry, it's to jump on that bandwagon when you can.
You know,
even if it's too late.
You know what, though? You know what no one would listen to because of all the math and, you know, physics involved in it?
Hmm.
A Rifts podcast. If anyone's played Rifts, you know what I'm talking about. And if you have played Rifts, I am so freaking sorry, unless you're like a physics major, and then go have at it. Do you know that Rifts was my first tabletop game?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, okay, I was in another one, but I didn't have to roll my own dice because the guy was like an absolute control freak. But Rifts was my first tabletop game, and I did have to freaking sit out with a graphing calculator to do all of my stuff because I was playing a new class that was like some battle mage, which, by the way, I got the rest of the party killed, and it was great.
I remember. Okay, we will get into...
I played a true neutral.
We need to get into the Nintendo Direct, but I will go on a D&D tangent, and this one's for our pals over at the Let's Be Legendary podcast. My first D&D I ever played was Planeswalker. Does that sound right? Was there a...
Well, you mean Planescape? That's D&D.
That's it. Planescape.
That's D&D.
We did that. And I remember I was in high school, and it was a bunch of dudes, like nerds. We all didn't fit anywhere else.
Did you play a tiefling, Rob?
I was the only one willing to play a female. So everybody else was male, and I was female. So, of course, they wanted to be like, well, I'm going to hit on your character and all this stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm a lesbian. Don't bother. So I remember that was one of my first D&D experiences, was like, stop trying to get awkward in here.
But Siata Beery, now that I can finally say your name right, was talking about AOL's chat rooms with the dice roll feature. So, girl, let me tell you a thing. Real quick thing.
All right, real quick, then Nintendo.
Back, right, actually, just before I met Dan, I was a AOL chat room role player, and we used to have sparring in the various Sailor Moon or Kuno's Island for a while, or then it became the Raiden sparring ring. And this was after Dan and I were just starting to get together. But I still have like tons of characters that even to this day people still know who they are, because they were kind of, we had prominent characters that hung out in that chat room. Originals after a while, because just doing the characters in games already kind of were boring, but you throw them in that universe and change things up a bit. But yeah, I did dice bars and we did games like that. And we even did a Digimon game with dice rolling.
Nerd.
Gee, Rob, what show is this?
Ask how long it's been running.
Well, since everyone's talking about...
Ask what game it started around.
Since everyone's been talking about D&D, I mean, the one game that I remember, we played a D&D game. It didn't get very far, but I remember the character that I played was Malcolm the Evil Jester from Kyrandia, the old PC game. And so I had a deck of cards that was like a, you know, magical deck of cards that did different things depending on which card you pulled. And it was fun.
I just remember when we did a Dragonlance game that we were really bored one night, and so we played three Kender and a Fairy Dragon. I don't know if anyone knows.
What'd you call me?
Kender are really annoying kleptomaniac races who always tell the same stories about things. They're kind of like really chibi, like elf, but not like cool elves. They're like, we wish we were elves, but we were a gigantic mistake of magic.
I'm not a regular elf. I'm a cool elf.
No. They were a gigantic mistake of magic. Seriously, in the series they are, and they're just really annoying but can be really awesome.
It's
so
like
we had the
Kleptomaniac Taroto, or was it?
All right.
I don't even know what the hell they're
but
called
anyway,
in Final Fantasy 14.
You turned a 30-second plug into a 5-minute tangent. That's all right.
That's
have you
do.
Just started listening to this show? I mean, seriously.
You're right. It's my first time here. All right. Let's move on.
I think Bobby failed his savings throw.
All right, let's move on. We got to talk about, because there's a lot of gaming news this week, actually, and it all started with the Nintendo Direct, which last week we talked about as a rumor, and some of y'all, Bobby Blackwolf, were like, why are you talking about rumors? Because rumors don't happen. I'm paraphrasing and inserting some of my own words in there.
Unless it's Fleetwood Mac.
But it turns out there really was a Nintendo Direct last week, and there was a lot of news. Now, what we didn't necessarily know from all the rumors was exactly what was going to be discussed, and there was some pretty big announcements. Dark Sakura, I think you wanted to touch on probably what was the biggest announcement out of the whole thing, right?
Hold on, I have to say Shun the Disbeliever in chat real quick.
Okay. Oh, it's, you know, take your time. It's just a live show.
Okay. Shun! Anyway, there was a lot of excitement over this one, and even I might have, you know, peed my pants a little bit, just kidding. It's actually a game I never finished, and I never finished it because at the time, I had shit to do. But The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, though, that's pretty big news. It is getting a full-on, you know, that 2.5D remake quality rendered stuff. Prettiness.
Yeah, it's kind of a new look for Zelda. It's kind of like, imagine if the Super Nintendo look or the link between...
I would put this more GameCube-ish because it's very simple 3D.
Oh, yeah. But I meant like that look, but like then enhanced in a cartoony... You know what it actually reminded me of? If you ever played that, what was it? 3D.bit Game Heroes...
It's 3D. Game Heroes.
Was that it? 3D. Game Heroes? But like with actual, because that was a Zelda ripoff game, or excuse me, Zelda inspired game, but now like an actual like Zelda with that.
Even better though, this is going to be out on the Switch this year. Although where the hell is my Animal Crossing, y'all?
Got to wait for E3 for that one, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, so, but a lot of people are really excited about it. I'm really excited. I never actually got a chance to finish it. I mean, I know how it ends. But it's funny, I sent the picture to Dan, and he's like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, weaned fish!
You know,
he's like, that fish is so windy.
So obviously this is the Game Boy game that they're remaking for the Switch.
Yes.
Which, you know, there's certainly going to be that part that's like, but a Game Boy game's kind of, you know, aged a bit. But didn't we just have on the 3DS not that long ago, we had Metroid 2, Return of Samus, had its reimagining that was released on the 3DS. You know, I can't help but wonder, could this have been originally planned for 3DS? Mm-hmm. But because things are slowing down a little bit on that front, they did the right thing and moved it over to Switch, which is definitely the right place to put something like this out. But Game Boy reimaginings all these years later, certainly not unheard of at Nintendo.
Well, I mean, you know, the big trend right now is just, you know, remakes and rehashes. So, but I hope that they do something else with the story to make it a little bit better. I mean, though, how many remakes and re-releases and things have been just announced or have already come out? And
I'll cut Nintendo a little more slack in that department, because when they have done the like reimaginings, like in both Metroid instances, Metroid Zero Mission and Metroid 2 Return of Samus, they really felt like new games just with the old narrative, because they would add either new mechanics, or like in Zero Mission you had that whole post storyline with the Chozo and all this stuff. You know, I feel like I'll let Nintendo have a pass, because they've never really disappointed me, unless they made it very clear, like all their like when they did the Zelda Wind Waker HD remaster, and that's like all they did, and they called it HD remaster, that's it.
Yeah,
but even in that one, they still kind of like, they added fast travel. They,
well, yeah,
they,
and the Metroid kinda, 2 remake was pretty awesome.
Yeah So I'm definitely hyped for this, and this was just, I mean, I don't think anybody
now we need to see a Super Mario Land remake, or
you think? Thing.
I'm surprised we haven't seen. I would be willing to bet that that's maybe going to be in Mario Maker 2.
Well, let's talk about if we anything else we want to say on Zelda.
Not really. I mean, what we see is what we get. There's the trailer showing off some of the graphics. There's just all kinds of good stuff.
Well, then let's move into some of the other announcements here. Before I go to Loki, I want to read this comment from Kaijudo over at our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, who says, they remake stuff because fans ask for them all the time. I suppose that's part of it.
I mean, as long as they do the remake right, you know, like I'll get into this when we do our gaming weeks, but the Resident Evil 2 remake is, I can't gush on it enough. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Well, especially with, you know, proper skull rendering and bullet physics.
Hold that thought. Let's do some of the other Nintendo Direct news. You touched on Mario Maker 2, so that was another big announcement.
So Mario,
which was part of the rumor, too, funny enough.
Yeah, that was like one of the first things that they showed off was Mario Maker 2, and it looks awesome. They added a bunch of new things to the game, different game modes. Now they have a Super Mario 3D World type a style, I guess, of the game. They've got
oh, I didn't see that there was a 3D world. That's cool.
Yeah, there's it's still 2D, but the style is 3D. That's where they have the Cat Mario.
Okay.
And then they have slopes, and they've added new enemies.
The sun.
The sun
there.└················
is there.
Clear pipes. I saw, yeah.
They have a desert is one of the themes as well, and then I don't know, just lots of good stuff.
So is this kind of maybe more like Super Mario Maker Plus?
I think there's enough that they've changed.
Yeah.
That make it.
I feel like there's this interesting thing that they're doing on the Switch, and I feel it happened a little bit with Splatoon 2, happened a little bit with Super Smash Brothers, honestly, is that they kind of took like what really worked in the Wii U game, and honestly, like, I'm not going to say they copy-pasted, because obviously we know more goes into the programming than that, but they kind of like took a base and added all this other flavor around it.
Yeah.
To make a new experience. And I think that's kind of what we're getting with this, or it seems from the early trailer, what we're getting from this Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, and it's good to see that it's actually coming out. And, you know, I know the worry was before that, well, how is that going to translate from touchscreen to actual, you know, TV? And they've got this new, like, radial menu that they're using now, which looks pretty cool.
But you can also do a touchscreen.
Well, right. You can do it on that for handheld mode, too. Sure. But they do have the radial thing if you want to do that. And it's hinted, but they don't really talk about it, but you'll notice that Mario Maker 2 has both Mario and Luigi on the front, meaning maybe we'll see some two-player co-op in
which
there.
Which I kind of hypothesized in the last episode, that it would be cool to have, like, you know, the player versus player, but you're like shadows, you don't really run into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So
I hope there's something like that.
That's something that they had. And then along with that, there was also some stuff that they showed off for, well, they had demos that they announced. So they had a Daemon X Machina Switch demo that came out, as well as a demo for the new Yoshi Crafted World. They showed off, they were talking about the Smash Brothers Ultimate 3.0 update. There's a lot of other games that are just kind of okay. Rune Factory, they announced a new one that
you know some people get really into those though. Yeah. I saw on my Twitter feed. Maybe you're not a big fan of Rune Factory, but I know I got friends that were hype about that.
Final Fantasy VII, they announced dates for that as well as Chocobo Mystery Dungeon, and then Final Fantasy IX came out that day.
That was a big. Yeah, they did. They did quite a few like it's out today announcements. Whether it was a demo. Yeah. Or, you know, $21 for Final Fantasy IX, or I'm sure you'll get to it here in a minute, but Tetris 99 obviously was the other
Tetris
big...
Tetris 99 was a big announcement.
Yeah.
And, like, Battle Royale Tetris game.
Yeah, and it was interesting because it's only for the Nintendo Online subscribers, and we just had been talking about on the show a couple weeks ago about how Nintendo's investors were kind of pressuring them to do some things to make that service a little sweeter. And so people were saying, oh, it's going to be Super Nintendo games on the service. But I think it's kind of nice to see games that are being designed for the service as like a free, you know, type of experience. And so, I mean, it's I don't think anybody could have thought, oh, Tetris as a Battle Royale game is something Nintendo should do for online. But now that it's here, it's kind of like this is a very Nintendo way to do it. Yes, this is good.
Mm hmm. They showed off some of the content for Dragon Quest XI. That's going to be exclusive to the platform.
Oh, yeah, that retro mode. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of different.
Again, they're taking like the 3DS stuff, and now they're putting it on the Switch. Because in Japan, it was on 3DS, and now they're going to put it on the Switch. As like, I think instead of like a dual screen, it'll kind of be something you can flip back and forth between. And that's really cool. If only they could go back and redo the soundtrack. Which I guess, well, I guess they are kind of doing that.
Yeah, well, they have.
But I mean, they need like new music.
Right.
Sorry.
I was going to say, also, they announced Deltarune coming to the Switch. They've got some new Fire Emblem Three Houses game. Announced a date for that in July. Assassin's Creed 3 Remasters coming to the Switch.
Fun.
Starlink Battle for Atlas, which they're still trying to push that game.
Well, it's not Star Fox, but...
But they've got a lot of Star Fox content in there, but I don't think anyone gives a shit about it, but whatever.
It's... Okay, but you say that you're projecting what you think on everybody out there. Is anybody in chat a fan of Starlink? Set Loki straight.
All two of you out there. They showed off a Disney Zoom Zoom Festival, which is...
I kind of like thought that was interesting.
Because
I like the Zoom Zoom arcade game at round one. And like, have you ever seen those little collectibles?
No.
They're cute.
No, I have not. What else? Box Boy and Box Girl coming to the Switch. They announced Captain Marvel is going to be part of the cast of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which is like, duh, of course.
Of course.
Of course. I mean, like...
Yeah. Some comments in chat on Starlink. Bobby Blackwell says, I have a friend who's a huge fan of Starlink on the Switch. He has like 85 hours in it. So Bobby knows a guy.
There's one.
Let's see. ActDev says, I got Starlink with the Air Wing AR Wing with for $25 on Amazon. MNZiba says, I am interested in Starlink. Thank you, MNZiba. VG Realness says, Nintendo has full-on stolen Starlink and just made it their game now. I made this. You made this? I made this.
Well, I think
yes, they did do
well,
that.
Well, I think that's why, you know, originally when Star Fox was in there, that was the whole reason people bought it. It's like, oh, hey, Star Fox. You know, it wasn't because, oh, my God, Starlink?
Yeah.
I needed this.
And,
no one cared.
Big Red Pimp says, I enjoyed Starlink, still playing it too. So there's a few people in chat who have at least some tepid excitement about it.
Yeah. They had some other games that they showed off as well. I know they had a new game by, I can't remember the name of the studio now.
The Platinum game?
Yeah, the new Platinum game.
Yeah.
That looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sure did.
I don't know.
Although I was hoping maybe it would be Bayonetta 3 stuff, but...
they already talked about Bayonetta 3, so...
Yeah, they did talk about that before, and I don't know if... I don't think it's on the show roll tonight. No, it's not. But it was on Discord. If you're on the VOG Network Discord, there was some chatter about this in the OLR channel about how it seems like the director, or who is assumed to be directing Bayonetta 3, is no longer with Platinum Games. And had posted a thing on his Twitter about, I'm no longer, you know, with the studio or whatever. So there may have been some switcheroo that, I mean, may have set Bayonetta 3 back. Don't know. I mean, I don't want to make stuff up, but it definitely seems like, you know, with the change in staffing, there could be some things that are putting a little bump in Bayonetta 3's development. But you know what? Take the time to get it right. It's just fine.
Exactly. And I do like the fact that a lot of the stuff that they're showing off were indie games as well. So that's pretty cool that they had all that like a focus. But I mean, yes, a lot of the directs are like that. But yeah, I mean, that probably that's a good portion of it. I don't know if we've missed anything in huge in particular, but
what'd you guys think? And I'll open this question up to chat as well. And Darksoccer, I don't know if you watched the direct or just kind of saw the headlines, but overall, like, what'd you guys think of the direct? Like, did you think it was a good presentation? Do you think it was a waste of 30 minutes?
No,
what'd
I think it was good.
Yeah,
I thought it was good. There was a lot of big announcements packed in 30 minutes. It's
I don't usually think many of the directs are bad anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I actually thought it was like a strong direct. I thought it was like this was probably on par, if not past, some of their E3 directs. Honestly, like, and I'm not talking like E3 recently because they've been pretty strong recently. But like in some of the Wii U years where it was a little weaker, I think this direct was probably stronger than some of those E3 years. So I thought they did a really good job. So and. Very interesting to see how E3 is like more and more becoming like a footnote for some. So I think we're going to start to see more announcements, big stuff, definitely outside the June period. I mean, again, I don't think it's on the show roll tonight, but there was a pretty interesting comment from one of the heads up at Sony. I don't remember if it was Sean Layton or somebody else. I apologize. I don't remember in the moment, but basically laid it out on why they weren't going to E3. And it was basically, you know, kind of about that E3 is not what it used to be. It's not like they get all the retailers at their own event now, and it's not what it was. So it's going to be interesting to see more of a calendar year full of these big bang announcements as opposed to holding everything for June, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Going to our chat. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Intellivision is going to have a larger E3 presence than Sony. You know what, though? For something like...
I'm fine with that, actually.
For something like Intellivision, that actually makes a lot of sense because if E3 is going to be more about gamers and starting to get, more like regular people, so to speak, out on the floor as well as, you know... I don't know, bloggers and YouTubers and things like that. Like, you know, Intellivision's going to be kind of challenged with, and the Amico and all this stuff is just kind of challenged with finding its niche and getting the message about where they see themselves with gamers.
Right.
And taking your case directly to the gamers is not a bad idea.
So, like, aside from indie game studios having to really focus on trying to get their game out on as many platforms as possible, let's just, like, completely ignore that for a second here. What seems to be driving a lot of these game, you know, major game hardware publishers and their consoles between their releases of games? It's all the indie games. So if you get a console that's basically able to get all those indie games on it, then I think that's really going to be a strong console. But the problem is they're also everywhere else. So, you know, you have that. But I think that they were doing some stuff that was supposed to be exclusive to it. So...
Well, I also think this is one place where the Switch has really succeeded and why it's done better than the Wii U in so many ways is because it got in with those indies early on. And yes, even though it might be like, you know, something like Wargroove or whatever is essentially the same game on the Switch as is on the PlayStation 4, the fact that, you know, you're thinking in the back of your head, oh, well, if I buy it on the Switch, I have it portable and on the TV. Like, that really kind of clinches the deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think that's even though something might be available on multiple platforms, we'll see. So it'll be interesting to see if Sony or Microsoft with PlayStation 5 try to do something like that. I'm not saying they're going to like jack the Switch, but what about something that you have like a cell phone app where you can tap into your console and do a limited amount of things? I don't know. I'm going.
No phone apps. Stop with the phone apps. I'll take a Vita too. I don't want the phone apps.
I know, I'm going a little crazy and tinfoil hatty, but, you know, it happens. Let's see, some other comments in chat. VG Realness says, LOL, remember the E3 they talked about Woolly World for like 20 minutes and had the woman who made the giant amiibo talk for like ever? The dark years. Maybe it wasn't E3, but it was a direct, and I was like, wow.
That's a lot of these, and it's not even just necessarily Nintendo, but there's a lot of these EA, where they'll bring out, you know, FIFA players and they'll talk forever about FIFA, which is fine. I guess people like FIFA around the world, being it's, you know, number one sports game. You know, so that's
what we call soccer.
That's fine. But even if, like, okay, like for me, No, actually, no, you're right. If they're talking about Grand Theft Auto for 20 minutes, I'd be fine with that, too. But, like, it depends. Like, if they're talking about the game, then I'd be fine with that. But if it's just like, I'm the dude that created Grand Theft Auto, let me talk about 20 minutes about bullshit, you know, then I don't really care about it.
Yeah, no. If they were to, and Jamie's going to back me up on this. If they were to come out and say, we're going to be doing a Guardian Legend remaster, I'm going to be like, okay, I need you to spend the next hour going over the following details. How are you inspired by the original? What's the soundtrack going to be like? Tell me about the character. Like, I want to make sure you...
And will there be a Lolo?
Yeah. I don't want to make sure you're just remastering one of the greatest and most underlooked 8-bit titles of all time. I want to make sure you're fucking doing it right. Because I've been let down.
I was still mad about that project that got shut down.
Yeah, right? So, anyway, imagine somebody, like, just tuned in on Twitch and heard us talking about Guardian Legend Remaster, got really excited for a minute. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was talking about
But you should be really, really excited about the Guardian Legend anyway.
You should, in general. Just go back and play the original,
just
to be honest.
Don't play Gardic, because it's not great in all of its MSX non-scrolling glory.
It's the reason why we have what we have. Anyway.
Yeah, they learned from their mistakes.
All right. If we don't have anything else to say on the Nintendo Direct, then
I think
we'll move on to the types of games we have been playing this week, be it the Guardian Legend or something else. And I'll start with you, Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
Well, the Ghost Survivor dropped for Resident Evil 2, and it's some pretty good what-if stuff. It's basically, you've got three scenarios to start off with. One of them is the about-to-be-embalmed woman that you find somewhere in the game, who's already dead, but you play her having survived and escaping. Another one is the cop that, like, that you find dead right at the start of the game. That's not really a spoiler. You actually play him escaping and, you know, getting out. And then another umbrella... a person also escaping. These scenarios are pretty hard. And you get, like, vendor zombies. These zombies wandering around with backpacks. And you shoot them and you get stuff. You also do have vending machines that you can... Oh, you can get a flash grenade or a chemical flamethrower. If I got a chemical flamethrower out of a vending machine, I'd be like, shit, yeah. But no. And then, like, if you beat all three, then you get, like, another... thing. Actually, I take it back. One of the other ones, I think that was the one with the cop. I think that was the special edition one. But there's another one where you can play, like, Richard Kendo, the guy who owns the gun shop, and, you know, his issues with his family. His part of the story made me cry. Not cry, like, for real, but, like, oh. And then we got another pinball. We sold The Getaway.
You might have a problem if...
No, we traded.
I think it's rad. You guys...
But we have a Ghostbusters Pro
jealous.
Edition.
Oh, wow.
So Ghostbusters is a really, really good table, and I'm super happy we have it.
Is that the one that mix it? I could be wrong. Is that mix the new and the old?
No.
No.
It's all the old.
It's just the old? Okay.
Yeah. It's a really fun table, and the thing that I like is that the pin that was in the firehouse in the movie is actually on the little painted window in the firehouse in the game, so it's pretty cool. That's really been about the extent. I've had a lot of projects going on and some drama, so that's been the extent of it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, except the drama part, but the game stuff sounds good.
If drama was a person, it could sit on a dildo made of sandpaper and spin for an hour.
Okay, wow. Anyway, thanks for that visual. Moving on. Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was all right. I played a lot of Crackdown 3. I did stream some of it as well. It's running okay on my PC, but it's, I don't know, I'm surprised how much. It definitely makes the fans rev up. Sounds like I have a jet engine taking off. But I like it. It's really fun. The reviews haven't been so great for it, though. Everyone complains about it. I don't know. I really think that they really overhype the whole, like, oh, the cloud. We need the cloud to be able to process all the epicness that... No, you don't. I haven't played the multiplayer mode yet, but I've watched video online, and it's just... It's neat, but there's... Aside from it being, like, a tech demo for, here's what we can do with the cloud and processing, you know, destruction stuff, which, to be honest... The same type of destruction, you can probably see that in Battlefield, all those games and stuff, with their destruction engine. I just think that, like, other people have done it way better. And it, and it's been out for a while, but the game itself is fun. It's Crackdown. If you played Crackdown, you know what this is. Plus, it has Terry Crews being extra, and it's awesome. You just the beginning cinematic with Terry Crews in it had me grinning pretty wide. So it's pretty awesome.
I have yet to check this out. I really want to check out Crackdown 3. I'm just like, you know, cost and all that stuff. But you were doing a live stream the other night, right?
Yes, I was for a few hours.
Sadly, I was hosting a show. I couldn't watch. But I saw a little thing come up on my notifications. I wanted to watch it.
Yes. So I did do that for a little bit because I'm trying to get my my affiliate thing still. I still need more people chatting and watching. So what else? Played a little DDR this week. That's pretty much it. I downloaded Tetris 99. Didn't get a chance to play it, and I still haven't played any Kingdom Hearts. Hopefully, I do actually play some of it, because I'm worried it's going to end up being like a lot of the other games I buy and don't play, and whatever. But Crackdown 3, though, I mean, I'm playing quite a bit. I've gotten through... It's a lot harder than like some of the... Like, the very first Crackdown game, you could just blow through that like super fast. You go to the lieutenants, it's just like... You literally just sprint to the lieutenant's like headquarters and just kill him instantly and done. It's like awesome. This is a little bit more involved. I like the way they have it set up because, you know, Saints Row did steal a lot from Crackdown as far as how they kind of set up where you do small little activities to kind of build towards like taking on a boss and stuff. They did that with a lot of the gangs and the side missions. But it's same thing with Crackdown. You have to take over certain parts of the map. And as you do that, it weakens the boss that you're going to fight. And then when you defeat the boss, it weakens the big boss. So, like, I took out this AI that was controlling all of these monorail terminals. And because I took over the AI, this like moving platforms that were frozen in this building are now moving because I did that. Or
it sounds kind of like Zelda Breath of the Wild in a little bit of a way. You know,
sorta,
how, like, you can run to the final boss if you want. It's really hard. But if you kind of like, you know, take out the big machine dungeon things, then it makes it easier.
It's sort of like that. So it'll be interesting. And of course, all the orbs and stuff are pretty fun. But yeah. I'm really enjoying it, so I'll try to stream some more of that. I was going to do that earlier today, too, but my family didn't end up leaving when I needed them to. I was going to do it before the show because I thought it'd be perfect time to do that, but...
Whoops. All right. Yeah. Well, my gaming week, I did play a little bit of Tetris 99. It's going to come up again later in the show in a little pre-recorded segment, so I won't get too far into that, but I am enjoying it, I'll say that. Even though it's very, very bare bones, very simple, I do hope they are looking to expand on it later, which I understand they may have found some things in data mining, so that would be good. That'd be good if they expand on that in the future, but I've enjoyed what little I've played of Tetris 99 so far. Been continuing in World of Warcraft. That's kind of my old standby time waster because I'm not really playing Final Fantasy 14 right now. I'm just kind of that's on the back burner till the expansion, really. So I've just been I got my shaman up to level 120. Been world questing, trying to get my gear up. You have no idea what any of this means, huh? just wow things. So I've been playing that, and then the good old cell phone games too, like Pokemon Go. Nobody brought up Community Day. I'll mention the Community Day was yesterday, and it was really low key. Yeah, it was yesterday.
What was it?
Swinub.
That's why I kept seeing those around. Yeah. I just thought it was like, you know, the Chinese New Year crap.
Yeah, right? No, that was Community Day. It was yesterday, and I
guess that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I was reminded, though, I'm so mad because I had such a busy day yesterday, as did Alan, is that I did all my trainer battles and got the Sinnoh Stones from those, and I did one PvP battle with Alan, but I forgot to do four more so I missed out on those extra Sinnoh Stones, and I'm really pressed about it because I still have stuff I need to evolve. But I did get 5 shinies during the event, and really, we took it easy. You know, Shane, the shiny hunter friend of mine, moved, so he's doing Community Day elsewhere now, but it's not really go, we got to get shinies. So, which he would always kind of end up going off on his own anyway, but we kind of were like really lazy, and once we got like 3 shinies, we were like, and so we ended up raiding for the last hour of it, because Alan and I still didn't have the Palika, sorry, I forget the name of that boss that's out right now, we didn't have it yet still. So because we were downtown, there's lots of people around, it was a really good chance to raid. And so I got one on the first raid finally, and Alan got one on the second raid. So we were like, okay, well, that actually feels like just – that almost feels like more of an accomplishment than the shinies, because we needed that for the Pokédex. So that was good. Still quite a few people out, but I feel like it wasn't as crowded this time as
it
was.
It's Swinub, so no one gives a crap about it.
I think it's part that and part the fact that rain was in the forecast. And maybe just the fact that Pokemon Go has had a lot of, like, go, go, go stuff lately. And I don't know. Like, I don't want to say Pokemon Go is dying. It's not. But it's probably starting to, you know, I'm not sure their strategy of drip feeding the Gen 4 Pokemon and then forcing you to use stones to evolve a lot of them.
And
not
a lot of them,
sure,
I still haven't
well.
Been.
Which, how do you get those?
You have to do either trainer battles or you do the PvP battles with friends that are three
what?
Stars or higher. And
what,
they're not
the Sinnoh
guaranteed.
Stones?
Yeah.
No, you can also get them by completing the weekly challenge it's things too.
Like I've done those too and haven't gotten them.
It's a 20% yeah. drop rate from that.
I've gotten a few.
I know.
All of mine are from that. But I did battles. Well, I did the, was it not the trainer battle with, you know, the heads of each of the groups or whatever. And those are stupid easy.
Shut the front door. ActF says you can still do battles to get Sinnoh Stones today. Really? Well, we might have to do that later before Dark Sakura leaves. I'll battle her, help her get some Sinnoh Stones because I want them too. So you don't have to win. You just have to do them. Which is really weird. So you get participation trophies.
Yeah. It's all Pidgeys. I'm going to do all Pidgey.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's get destroyed.
All right. Anyhow, so that's enough of my gaming week. I suppose that's all I really need to say about that. So we will get into some gaming news. I don't have a lot to say for like any type of housekeeping stuff. Just the good old always follow us on Twitter at OLR. And, of course, we are on Twitch every week, Sunday nights, at VOG Network. So please follow us at VOG Network. And we do really appreciate all you guys who send us biddies throughout the show. We really appreciate that. And the subscriptions are great as well. And I know some people have been very interested in subscribing because some people are actually like watching the video instead of listening to the podcast, which is still going to be free like it always was. But we thought if we're going to do a little something extra like the video, that will be the thing that's behind the subscription. But so many people have Twitch Prime anyway. Like, you kind of have a free sub a month anyway. So yeah. If you feel like using it on us, that'd be awesome.
And then, follow me on Twitch as well and come watch my streams because I need more people to watch my streams. Thank you, ActDeath, for tuning in to my Crackdown stream.
Weren't you were streaming on Friday night, though, right?
I know. It was just timing. I try to do stuff during the week, but I also have to, like, you have to understand, like, I have to also cook and get the kids ready for bed because, God forbid, no one else in our house is going to actually do any of that.
To see if you can get a friend to host you or something, because that'll go a long way. Like, see if you can do Tuesday after Anime Jam session and then go to Rama and say, please, please, please help me out and host. Or, like, you know, Sunday after OLR would be perfect, but unfortunately, you have to drive home.
Yes.
Yeah, so... So. But, well, I mean, sometime you could have maybe Bobby would do it for 30 minutes and then you could go after him or something.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
We'll work something out.
Yeah.
So.
It's fine. You know what? And the more I think about it, though, it's like, you know, like, how much am I actually doing this? It's not like you're going to make, like, it's just like.
That's the thing with VOG, too. Like, we appreciate the biddies and we appreciate the subs and all that stuff. But, like, we do not have fantasies that we're actually going to, like, make a profit off this thing.
Yeah.
Like, the money is going into essentially, like, the business element of this whole thing is a big part of it. And then at some point we would like to put the money, I think, into making more, like, merchandise. And I think conventions is really the big thing we would like to be able to use money to do is to, like, sponsor or get our name out there at more things. And in the marketing side of things to help grow. I think. And that ain't free because we've been paying all that out of pocket until now. But having a little extra coin will help us maybe do a few extra events. So that'd be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, gaming news. We have a lot of news to touch on for the week. It was a busy week and some not so great news to start. Right, Loki?
Yes. Unfortunately, as we hinted last week, it ended up becoming true on Tuesday. Activision Blizzard did lay off 8% of its staff, which was about 800 people. And, you know, from all different lines of their business. So basically, I think they're seeing the King, Activision Blizzard, the Blizzard side of the house, and Activision were all kind of, a lot of them were let go. They had, and I think a lot of the people that got let go just found out from the call. The worst part about it, though, was during the earnings call. They started off, or Bobby Kotick started off, once again, achieved record results in 2018. So that's why we got to lay off 800 people, is because we've made all this money and we need more of it, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. This is a very complicated story, obviously. And I know people like that were affected by this. You know, you get to know people on Twitter and social media, and you've been to, you know, the LA area enough times and do gaming events, you start to meet people. And so I know people that were affected by this stuff. And so it sucks. My heart really goes out to them. There is a part of me that kind of like gets the business side of it purely because obviously Activision Blizzard had Destiny 2, their partnership with Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
Bungie took that away and they're putting it all in house, which they had the right to do. And many people cheered that when it happened, right?
Yeah.
But the unfortunate side effect of that is that you had people that were supporting Destiny 2, be it, and I'm not just talking about like development, I'm talking about everything that goes into the marketing, the promotion, running things at conventions, running things, you know, all this, you know, other stuff and promoting
right.
Destiny 2. And suddenly it's like, well, now what? You know, and they were left without something to do. So that end, on the business side, it's like, I kind of like, I get that. I mean, as horrible as that sounds, I mean, like, I get, but I'm not excusing it because there's also part of me that says, but that's poor planning on the management's part, that they did not have what the next, you know, launch pattern, the next big thing, the next thing we're working on that we will have these people work on in our plan development. It's almost kind of like this Bungie thing may not have been extremely known about or planned out. I don't know. So that part is extremely disappointing. But I think, again, and this is now several instances in the past few months where Activision Blizzard very clearly has a messaging problem that you have very clearly outlined here, is that they've opened this call saying the numbers are – and I get that they have to say that to investors. Even if the fucking sky is falling, you've got to get on there and be like, investors, things are going to be great. You know,
well, that's the problem, though. It's like, as I mentioned last week, you know, how are you going to keep growing like this? You only have, you're getting to the point where, like, you've saturated the market. You're like, I don't see how you're going to grow even more, even aside from just like microtransactions. But like, how much more can you possibly? You're eventually going to, you know, plateau out. I just don't know what the, and I guess that's where cutting, you know, being more efficient as a company also comes into play and making
right.
more of that money.
And so here's what pisses me off about the whole thing, and here's why I'm mad for those people that lost their jobs so suddenly, you know, with, you know, and if you were a contractor with literally like nothing, you're just basically, it's done, that's it, the end. What pisses me off about it is that it's poor planning is part of the reason why this is happening, because you look at Activision Blizzard's 2019 calendar and it's kind of, they've got Warcraft 3 coming out of Blizzard. Surely there'll be a new Call of Duty. I mean, duh. You've got the Warcraft vanilla they're putting out all over again, right? But it's kind of like you don't really see a lot of exciting new things in 2019. So it's like, where was the planning for that? My point is, where was the news about Bobby Kotick's going to take a hit in his salary? Or the board's going to take a hit in their salary.
Of course they don't.
Of course,
well, of
they
course
don't.
Not. They
you know what? You know what? When it was Satoru Iwata at Nintendo, when the Wii U was failing, he took a 50% pay cut. Remember that? Do you remember when he went on the Nintendo Direct and said, I'm taking a 50% pay cut because I let you all down? That is why we respect Satoru Iwata and why we eulogize him the way we do.
But this is also dealing with a cultural thing as well.
Fair.
Where... and this is just, I may be off base, but it's something I've noticed in general, specifically with Japanese companies. They are a huge entity, and everybody's contributions to the company are considered first. You know, how does this affect everybody? You know, where here it's all about greed, it's capitalism at its worst. And, you know, I really do think that instead of punishing the employees, they start at the top and punish the executives. The ones who have lost touch with their markets, with their employees, and with people in general, who only think of that bottom line, you punish them first because they're the ones that are making the decisions that are fucking it up for everybody else.
Bobby Blackwell says, unfortunately, Kotick taking a pay cut wouldn't save those jobs. Those people don't have work anymore, but it could have gone into enhance the severance package. It could have gone into and here's the thing.
It could have gone into laying off fewer people.
Right. And as much as, you know, here's the thing. As much as I'm like, and you hope for this, and you pray for this for the folks that were affected, is that it's going to be like a phoenix. You know what? You got devastated by this company, but there'll be a new game studio and something that builds from that. But at the same time, when it comes to like making a game, you have to have investors in that game, because you can't just like make a game if you'd have nothing to live on and eat on. That's why Kickstarter was hugely successful for a long time, because it was a way to kind of like get your game invested when you were in a project. Unfortunately, too many of them failed, or I think the public has lost trust in a big way in Kickstarter, right? But I feel like, okay, well, couldn't Activision have used some of that money if they'd planned better, if their management had planned better, to have more projects for these folks to work on, to have these, you know... Sure. Would it have been enough for everybody? Maybe not. But at least maybe we could have had something to look forward to besides more of this, more Call of Duty.
That's the thing with Activision, though. They do kind of tend to put their eggs in all in one basket. Because, I mean, aside from – it's basically the Blizzard side of the house kind of has their stuff diverse between your World of Warcraft and Overwatch. And then the Call of Duty – or, you know – Activision just has Call of Duty. Pretty much they put all of their eggs in Call of Duty. I mean, granted, this year they've got – I was just checking their site. I'm like, what the hell is even coming out from them? Because I know even just in the history of me dealing with them, they haven't had a lot of games release out throughout the year. So they've got – was it that Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. So they have that game coming out, which is kind of like a Dark Souls-ish game. And then Crash Team Racing. But, I mean, granted, those aren't going to be huge titles. So it's – I don't know.
You know, Questbuster does bring up an important point, and it's worth, you know, mentioning here, is that answering a question from another analyst, Activision noted that the job losses are from the SG&A and non-core parts of the business. And that does seem to be kind of lining up with what we're hearing, is that it's like these losses weren't really coming from development or programmers or artists. I mean, I don't know all the facts. Granted, I'll be the first to admit that, you know, I don't know if those teams were like zero impact, but it does seem like the brunt was in the distributing and this whole combination of the two Blizzard arms. There was that. We know about the esports thing already. Had taken a hit. We know, like, support for Destiny 2 and so forth, and marketing for this game that they pretty much are no longer involved with and so forth. It seems like that is all the stuff that took a hit, not the stuff that's actually going to develop the games in the future. But then part of me goes, well, you've got to be looking down the road at what you're going to be developing in the future that you're going to need support for. And if I'm somebody in the industry, and I've heard about how Activision kind of did it this go around, when they need those people in the future, I'm going to be thinking about that. I don't know. But then at the same time, I know for a lot of people, a job's a job, and you're going to go wherever you can get work. But yeah, it's a complicated issue. How about this question that's coming up all the time? Would a union have fixed everything? Would it, if they were just unionized, couldn't the union have punched Bobby in the face and said, no, you can't do it?
No, because I think this is completely different than, like, we're talking about crunch time and laying off developers after crunch time type of thing. This is more of this is just a different type of layoff scenario.
A union probably would have helped it be more of a coast as opposed to a drop off the cliff. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I feel like that's what the union could have negotiated for, things like the severance, things like the medical, things like, you know, the analyzing what is absolutely needed and what is, you know, and so forth. And you're right. And a lot of the stuff about, and I'm not saying I'm not like anti-union for the game developers or anything. I think a lot of good could come out of that when we talk about the working conditions and the other things that you brought up there. But would a union have magically fixed this whole scenario and prevented it from happening? Probably not. No, many, many companies that do have union employees do go through layoffs. It happens, but it's just the way it happens may have been different. So anyhow, at the end of the day, you know, our thoughts go out to those that were affected by this. And again, fingers crossed. It is great, and I'll try to end this segment on a happy note, and then we'll go on to the next story. It is really nice to see the game developer and adjacent, you know, all the people, other people that make games industry work too. It is nice to see everybody come together where it's like, dang, all at once. It's like you see, hey, look at this resume, and hey, we're hiring all these people, and hey, have you looked at our game list? And we would love to have some of the Activision Blizzard people come over here. And it's like you definitely see a lot of that support. You know, even if it's not an official union, game developers and the gaming community that make the games are really looking out for each other. And that part is positive and I think a really good thing. Even if people are feeling a little sour this week, I think to see all that support out there from peers really probably means a lot.
At least they're getting some money. It's not, you know, Telltale Games scenario where they just kind of lay
that's
them
just
up.
Garbage.
Yeah, I was even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, let's move on. I mean, I know it's a lot of the news this week is kind of centered around that, but I do want to move on to another story talking about maybe another way that Blizzard and Activision are making money, and that is off the popularity of Overwatch. Even though I've also seen some reports that, like, the Overwatch popularity is kind of declining a little bit. And maybe that's just because the game's been out a couple years. I mean, in some ways, I kind of think...
Now's the time. Lego Overwatch, the game.
Well, maybe not that, but Hasbro is doing things for Overwatch besides just the Nerf gun. They are going to be doing a Monopoly-branded or a Monopoly Overwatch-branded collector's edition.
There's Monopoly for everything.
You can even make your own Monopoly. We could have an OLR
Monopoly.
I
saw Pizza Monopoly the other day. I was like, huh.
You can make a Monopoly out of, like, literally anything. And who buys all those?
You know what's funny? It's like, what was it? Boardwalk was pepperoni. And, like, Baltic Avenue was, like, macaroni and cheese. I'm like, that's not even pizza. That's mac and cheese.
Tell that to John's incredibly mediocre pizza.
I've seen mac and cheese on a pizza. It's weird, but, I mean, some of y'all are
Well, that's why it's Baltic, you know.
I liked peanut butter pizza, too.
I'm surprised the cheapest one wasn't pineapple as a joke to that, which, by the way, I'm completely fine with pineapple on pizza. Y'all need to stop hating. But no one's forcing you to eat it. But
I like mayonnaise and eel on a pizza.
You can enjoy that over there. Anyway.
That I don't understand.
Anyway, where were we? Yes, Monopoly. So do you own a lottery? Do you own, like, branded Monopoly things?
I have a few.
I get texted that Golden Girls one, like, at least – once a month, if not twice a month.
We have the Super Mario Brothers one.
Yeah.
And I think Dan has a Mustang one.
Have you ever played it?
No.
It's more, yeah, it's just a collectible thing.
It's like,
right?
I have a Monopoly game. I don't need to buy another Monopoly game.
And I have Monopoly.
Well, which one's that? I don't remember
the
that
Master
one.
System misprint.
Oh, God. That's okay. That's a throwback. Yes.
Monopoly.
Yeah. Yep.
And I have a Monopoly pinball.
There was a Monopoly pinball.
I have the one Stern did, the newer one.
There was a Monopoly game show years ago, too. But anyway, moving on. So there's not just the Monopoly Overwatch, which the pieces for the players will be, of course, characters like D.Va and Winston and so forth. But there's also going to be 6-inch action figures for $23. You can get characters like Lucio, Reaper, Sombra, and Tracer. But there's also a $50 Reinhardt figure that comes with, like, a giant energy shield type of thing that you can kind of put in front of the character, and it does look really cool. Also, there's some dual character packs. So for $50, you can get an Anna and Soldier 76 dual pack, and then you can also get a Mercy and Farrah dual pack as well. So figures.
Hooray.
And making money.
I saw Fortnite figures the other day, too.
Of course. There's, like, a Fortnite aisle at Target. It's crazy. Yeah.
Merch. Gotta
merch.
Get into merch.
Hey, it's just like the movie industry. That's, like, they don't just make money off the movies. They make money off the industry.
Yep.
Spaceballs the toilet paper. Spaceballs the flamethrower.
Pixel Paca's in chat says, but what about that Golden Girls cruise? Stay tuned for the next episode of Shaking and Crying, which... Yes, there was a new episode of that this week. DJ Roma S brings up Sailor Moon Monopoly. VG Realness says, I have Golden Girls Monopoly, but have you ever played it? Or do you just own it to own it? Like, yeah. I have to really take that approach of I need to stop. For me, I'm not judging nobody else, but for me, because all the crap we have in this house, I just have to, like, do I really need this?
You have a perfectly really unused calendar right here.
It's on the right month. It's on February.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I thought
unused.
That was just the cover.
How dare you? It's the lamp behind you.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Anyway.
No one can see it. I
got
to put it in front of Pikachu.
Dinged.
There you go.
It was dinging you.
Oh, now you're covering Pikachu.
Ah, whatever.
Just because. All right, anyway.
He's like, he's almost got the meme face on there.
Fifth Dream today in our chat says, I have a $70 Widowmaker action figure because Japan. Well, yeah, I mean, Hasbro is not the only one doing action figures. I mean, there's Pop. Because the Pop figures are everywhere for everything, right? Then there's, like, a little tiny figures I've seen at Target as well, like Overwatch. There's lots of toys.
Yeah, they have also their own Pop figure type thing. It's not Pop, but it's Target Pop or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Knockoff Pop figs. Yeah.
I get it.
It's the same. Your mom's not going to know any different when she buys it for you.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to another story. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, it's not really so much a matter of the show itself, but what was going on behind closed doors, or actually behind the scenes. So that show, I have never watched nor am interested in Black Mirror.
It's great. It's like the Twilight Zone, but internet-y.
I don't like going back and watching Twilight Zone either.
Interesting.
But anyway, they did that Black Mirror Bandersnatch where it's sort of like a choose your own adventure sort of thing. So as you watch it, you pick the direction that the story goes. Well, Netflix has saved all of that information. In fact, there was a general data protection regulation request that was filed by University College London technology researcher named Michael Veal, who wanted to basically, they revealed that Netflix kept track of every decision that was made. So, you know, they've held on to it for a very long time and no telling when they're going to let it go.
Which in itself sounds like an episode of Black Mirror.
Mm. Well, basically, in response to that request, Netflix did disclose that it used the individual's choices so that they could figure out what segment of the story they were on, which, of course, you know, if you're going to leave the show and come back to it, as you can with Netflix, then you can pick up on the decision that you last left off on.
Yeah, I think that there's nothing really malicious about it. It's more of just, you know, the function of Netflix.
But think about how this could be used. Well, I don't know. I want to let Jamie finish, and then I'll.
Well, at any rate, you know, Netflix also, though, while they did say that they wanted to hold on to the information to, quote, determine how to improve this model of storytelling in the context of a show or movie, end quote, they really didn't say how long they plan on holding on to that information.
Hmm. Well, I mean, if you haven't watched it, which I know you haven't, Jamie, one of the early choices you make, and I don't think this is a spoiler because I think it really is just kind of like a test to see how this works. You make a very early choice about which breakfast cereal do you want to eat. Do you want to eat like, it was like Frosted Flakes or Fruit Loops, some type of generic names for those. I mean, you get this, but like that. And so you pick which one you want. And then I think like it later will come up like in a commercial or something while somebody's watching TV. So like that's how your choice like impacts it later on. But it's like it's a practice one.
They keep that data to show who likes healthy cereals versus fruity cereals.
That's it.
And tailor their advertisements and show.
You finished my thought for me. That's the type of thing that I could see. Oh, but they're getting this data with these choices and then it could potentially tailor advertisements. Now, what does this have to do with video games?
Who's the actual shitty person?
What does this have to do with video games? Is because you make a lot of choices in video games too, in a lot of these online environment things. You know, we see more and more like advertisement in games like Street Fighter V and stuff controversially. I mean, how many video games do you think might be listening to the types of choices you're making? Like maybe there's.
Do you want
to
fuck the Turian or do you want the lizard alien?
showing which type of personal ads are you going to see based on
spiky catbird aliens or lizard folk?
Based on your romance choices in Mass Effect, you may be a fan of Hotiful Boyfriend.
Based on your choices, you may like killing people at a distance or up close and personal.
Hot local Turians near you.
You may be into calibrations.
Some interesting comments in chat. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, yeah, I don't know if it's surprising. I mean, don't they track that sort of thing to give you recommendations? Sure, Netflix tracks what you watch to do that.
Yeah.
ActDev says, but you don't get ads in Netflix.
It was a joke.
I know.
But then again, it is an internet-based service, and if it's tied into other internet, like say you're watching through the internet, like through your browser,
you don't think
it still gathers browser data.
And we all know if
they
this
sell it.
We all know if this company was Facebook, they'd be using it for things.
They already have. You don't even need to be on Facebook for them to make a profile and track you. It's just the modern internet.
Anyway, ActDev says that you don't get ads in Netflix. You kind of do. You are right, but you get ads for
here's an ad.
Other shows to watch.
Here's what Jamie's eating.
Take that out. They didn't pay for it. They didn't pay for that.
Who wants one?
What even is it?
These are butter soy sauce potato crisps.
So, all right, I'll try one. But let me finish the story first. Stop trying to tempt me while I'm trying to do a show here. All right. Now, Bobby Blackwolf, I think this is an interesting comment, too. Bobby Blackwolf says, I can tell you 100% for sure that Borderlands 2 tracks everything you do because they wanted to hire me to maintain it. They talk about exactly how many bullets you fire, which ones hit, where you fired from, etc. Some of that could be more just like trying to develop to make
the game
better,
also
though.
The stat tracking in the game tracks all that. So,
yeah. Interesting nonetheless, though.
How quickly was it before he cheated? Immediately.
Yeah. But I just thought it was very interesting, like, how many people probably watched...
How many times did he punch his horse?
How many people probably watched Bandersnatch without really thinking? And like, ultimately, is it going to be used for anything bad? Probably not. But could they? Maybe. I know another choice might tell him what type of music I like. That was another choice that was in the episode. Did you watch the episode?
I started watching it and I got bored with it pretty fast. And I like all the Black Mirror stuff, but yeah, I just couldn't get into it. It was the story just wasn't really kind of interesting enough for me.
Yeah, Bobby says, I mean, you have to make some terrible choices in Bandersnatch. You really do. Like, I don't want to ruin it, but it gets dark. We'll just put it that way.
Ooh, maybe I'll have to watch it again.
All right, yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We'll talk about another story. Loki.
So speaking of Fortnite, of course, you may remember that there was a few lawsuits regarding the dance emotes in the game. Well, apparently there's been some progress regarding that. So Epic Games has already asked the court to dismiss the 2 million lawsuit because they said their Fortnite dance is different. So after, I guess, about 2 months, they said that the Millie dance in the game is too short to be copyrighted. And it's not the same as the Swipe It dance in Fortnite. And along those lines as well, apparently the Carlton dance that was in there. Well, here's an ironic twist. Alfonso Ribeiro, the court has decided that he doesn't have ownership to that either. That NBC does. Whoops.
I thought that might happen in that case because he was an employee of NBC doing that show, and that show that he was on ends up being property of NBC. So I kind of figured that's how that would go.
It's not unusual to be sued by anyone.
So could NBC sue ABC because he did it on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't think, well, being that...
I don't think they care, to be honest.
It's an expression. I don't know. I think that the lawsuit was kind of stupid anyways, but I mean, other games have had emotes like this before. It's like how, I don't know. The courts have decided.
Did Shakira sue Blizzard for the Hips Don't Lie dance?
I don't think so.
But there's been several games that have had a Carlton-like dance mm-hmm. in there. And
it's just interesting he tried to get the copyright now. That also, I think, kind of weakens the case.
Yeah.
Like, what year are we in? How many years ago was that on the air? Like, if you felt that strongly about it, maybe that's something you should have gone for in the 90s, at least, you know? And actually, was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air the 90s? Was that like 89?
It was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
Yeah.
It was definitely the 90s.
All right. Anyhow. Does this mean the dances will show back up in Fortnite, you think? Or you think they're going to, like,
I don't think they ever went away.
What games took them out? Some games took them out. Oh, is that Forza? Forza took those out.
Yeah, but who needs fucking emotes in... It's a fucking racing game. Like, where are you going to see you doing an emote in the goddamn game?
If you would play said racing game, you would know that when you're on the little victory stand, the 1-2-3, that's when your thing does.
Oh, see, that's the problem. I never get in the top victory slot. See? That explains it.
Yes. Aha. Gotcha. All right, moving on. Let's talk about, speaking of lawsuits, this is one that could have a ripple effect of sorts. It has to do with Pokemon Go. It's a game we've talked about a few times on the show. I think everybody here in studio plays that game, and I'm sure many of you do as well. Well, you might remember when the game first came out, it was nuts. Tons of people were playing, and sometimes they were playing in places that maybe they should have been playing because some Ingress player put a couch portal in there years ago, and now all these Pokemon people are showing up because it's where the gym's at.
I thought it was because people were dumb and didn't understand that, like, you don't have to be near the Pokemon to catch the Pokemon, and so they were, like, wandering into, like, secured areas to get near a Pokemon that they probably could have just touched on their screen.
Well, or... remember I had the 1-2-3 tracking like away when it first came out, and so like they thought they were close. I mean, there's a or they were using one of those sites that would show
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a million reasons why people would make some questionable decisions with that whole thing. But anyway, what happened earlier this week is that some homeowners that had sued over Pokemon Go basically hit a proposed settlement for review from a California federal judge. And assuming this gets the blessing, which it seems like it would go that way, Niantic will have to take on some additional responsibility for this whole thing. So these are all lawsuits dating back to 2016 when the game first came out, from places like condos in Florida and so forth, who complained that hundreds of players would be there behaving like zombies, walking around and bumping into things. And although that's kind of, you know, LOL,
I remember, yeah,
it's still like, you know, you are trespassing, and especially in a place like Florida where,
well, there's
like
a lot of
condos.
Like, there's like pokey stops in a lot of apartment complexes I see mm-hmm. all the time,
sure.
like with fountains and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd be pissed if they took it out, but, you know.
So anyway, here's some things.
Just don't put gyms there.
Let's talk about what Niantic's going to do. Well, it's all a formula, and it all dates back to Ingress and the portals going in Ingress, which
yeah.
in the beginning stages of Ingress, Google employees, because Niantic was a Google subsidiary, Google employees were essentially screening which were good candidates and which weren't, and they didn't always like really know. That's changed in the past couple years to now it's a peer review. It's that whole OPR and the peer
yeah.
review. And I know this because I'm a part of it.
I've seen a lot of stuff disappear.
I'm max level in both
yeah.
those games. Yeah, well, because more and more people are reporting stuff too. Like, you know, I have no problem. Like, if there's a portal that is, it should not be there per the rules, it's something that is just completely inaccessible, or like there was one the other day I reported because it's a freaking poster in somebody's apartment. It shouldn't be there. It's not a candidate.
However, they have artwork in the Kaiser medical offices. But
right, but
that's
at least
stationary.
At least anybody can go in there. But technically, if it obstructs emergency services, it shouldn't be there either.
There's no emergency.
There was one
there,
I saw
fine.
That was in a government building area that
right.
they have security guards and they don't like you going near it, and they finally removed that Pokestop. I always try to get it from the sidewalk, but I couldn't
Which
quite get
was
it.
That?
It was the unclaim property thing over in Rancho. Yeah, I used
okay.
to like try to get. I got it once in Ingress, but like the security guard's like, "What the hell are you doing here?" I'm like, "I'm just trying to get this," and I show my phone and show that, and he's like, "Okay, fine." But then like they really don't want you over there.
Yeah. Well, okay. So now what's going to happen here? So this is going to be kind of where things change with Niantic. Upon complaints of nuisance or trespass and demands of the removal of a Pokestop or gym, the company will make commercially reasonable efforts to resolve the complaint and communicate a resolution within 15 days. That's the part that makes my head explode, because Niantic is so fucking slow at responding to these things that now they're basically going to be on the hook with this settlement. So I don't know if they're going to have to staff a support team or what they're going to do. They're going to have to respond to this shit in 15 days. And for honestly, there's a part of me that's like, finally. You know, like, they need to have...
Force the fire to get lit.
Especially with the amount of money that Pokemon Go is supposedly bringing in. Like, they should be having the support staff. By the way, Niantic, I don't want to sound tacky or anything, but I think there's plenty of very capable support staff-type people looking for work right now because of what happened this week. So, you know, Niantic has a full, very... very talented pool of folks to help them out to get these types of requests. Maybe it'll work out. If you are an owner of a single-family residence, not an apartment, single-family residence, you have the right of removal within 40 meters of your property.
Can I have the right of addition?
You know, it's like the number one question I've seen. That joke is like the number one thing on every Reddit post about this. Is like, can I get one added? And it's like, sure, roll an Ingress account, get to level 10, try to submit it. But at the same time, if I review portals at OPR, and I'll tell you, here's the number one thing I see that I kick out, okay? I get the little submissions for, they're called little free libraries. You've seen those, right?
Yes,
so
yes,
these
yes.
little libraries are like, take a book or leave a book behind and those types of things. If they are in a park, cool. If they're meta and they're at a library, cool. If they're, I've seen one in a, there's actually one, well, it's in a grocery store not far from here, that's fine as well. All that stuff is fine. But when I see it in front of somebody's house on private property in a residential street in a private neighborhood, I always say no. And I say no, it's on private property. So, you know, and that's why, in a big way, I think, Ingress people are doing the review and not Pokemon Go players. Because if you open it up to Pokemon Go players, all that stuff would get added. Absolutely. People wouldn't give a crap. They'd just be like, yay, more stops, more gyms. But when you look at the more PvP element of Ingress and stuff, like, A, it's a strategical nightmare to have that stuff on people's private property, because people in a game like that get very possessive and fucking crazy control over things like that, right? So, like, it can add up to ugly scenarios. So, like, that just that type of stuff should not be on private property. I am all for parks being loaded up, trails, load them up with stops. Everything that's, like, accessible and out there, load them up. Private property, be it a business, be it a government, be it a house, no. I don't think that stuff should be there whatsoever. But that's my opinion. Anyway, let's see. What else? Moving on to other bullet points. I'm also missing our chat because I brought up the bullet points. I haven't really been checking the chat here. Bobby says they just added a Pokestop near my house. It's at a playground in an apartment complex. You also didn't have a lot of stops in your area, Bobby, I remember. So that's good that they're adding new stuff, at least in your area. That's great. Let's see. ActDev says, I have a Pokestop in my house approved last month, but it's a mural on the wall of the house next to the street. It's tricky, I would say, in those situations with a mural, as long as, like, again, if it's in a residential neighborhood, I would tend to say no. But if it's a mural, like, on a, like, downtown on a club or something, then I would say yes. Yeah. It just depends. I just try to ask the question with everything in OPR, and I would hope everybody reviewing in there does this. If a Pokemon raid happened there, would it be disruptive? That's what I ask. Would a Pokemon raid be desired at this location? That's usually the number one question I would ask. All right. Anyhow, some other bullet points on Niantic, because I didn't mean to go on a tangent, but I do feel like having played both these games for a long time, I have a really pretty good understanding about how a lot of that works. But anyway, Niantic will maintain a database of complaints in an attempt to avoid poor placement. So I'd almost guarantee some type of geofencing is going to go in where you're not going to be able to submit new portals in locations that have been geofenced off. I'm almost sure that's got to be a thing that's going to happen. When Niantic's system detects a raid of more than 10 players congregating, a warning message will appear on their screens reminding them to be courteous and respectful of surroundings. That's interesting.
Hooray! Another pop-up I get to dismiss.
It's the type of thing that should be obvious, but I understand why Niantic wants
it's
to pass.
It's like you're driving. There's weather. I have a notification of news.
Niantic wants to pass that liability to you, and they want to be able to say, we warned them. That's what it's about.
Honestly, they should have the warnings on there. They should keep these in the forward people's minds.
Yeah, and I don't... This one doesn't bother me. Actually, honestly, none of these rules bother me, except for I'm worried about the geofencing. And what that might do. I'm worried that that's going to get used for naughty purposes. That people are going to try to get that stuff enabled on, like, again, Ingress, like PvP stuff. That's what I worry about. And I don't want it to get ugly like that. I won't participate in that, and I hope the other team doesn't either. Let's see. What was the other one? Oh, Niantic working with user reviewers and mapping services like Google Maps to also mitigate any problems, plus maintaining a mechanism so park authorities can request a park's hours of operation be honored. That mechanic is in Pokemon Go. It's not in Ingress, though, so I'd be curious how that's going to work. But in Pokemon Go, there's, like, certain gyms and stuff. Like, you can't, like, if you try to tap it past a certain hour, it'll say this gym is closed. I don't think there's anything in our area like that. But there are, like, parks and other areas where they've had, like you try to do a gym past 7 o'clock, it'll say this gym is closed. It was interesting.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Niantic will have an independent firm audit compliance with the obligations during a 3-year period, just to make sure they're following the rules. So, I don't know. It could be interesting to see the effects that have on Pokemon Go. But again, I actually don't think any of it is that bad. Like, it may sound like some Pokestops are going to get removed, and that part kind of sucks. But at the same time, you know, especially when Niantic has a third game coming down the turnpike with this Harry Potter thing, you know, we really need to have a place of locations that is cool stuff, but is also accessible by the public in mass, you know, at times that it should be assessed. So I will never get over that freaking portal they had out in the boonies. Do you remember this one? That was freaking googly eyes put on a tree. And somehow that was a portal / Pokestop, and it was like at grandma's house or something on the freaking tree.
Or they had a horse statue in someone's front yard. I remember that one.
Oh yeah, that one too. That was and there was another one that was like, and it was like in front of somebody's, like, trailer, and it was like not even like you, and you look in the perspective of the picture, it's like some, like, freaking Home Depot statue that doesn't even come up to my knee, but the way the picture was taken, it made it look like it was really big. And it was, like, not, you know, again, it was just somebody wanted something they could sit on top of, and get gear all day long because that's an advantage to have that. So anyway, interesting. going to chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bond006 says, waiting for the news of a real-life turf war in Pokemon Go. Bobby Blackwell says, that's an Ingress thing. True. That's exactly what that is. There's actually also another GPS game called Turf Wars that I just got turned on to recently. It's been around forever, but it's very, like, I think that game's been around since, like, 2012, and it kind of feels like it. But it's interesting that you bring that up, and there actually is a game called that. Bonds006 says, we got a horse statue in New York City as a stop in a park. It's good to have.
That's
totally different. Yeah. But can you imagine, like, I think I know what you're talking about. It was like somebody's U-shaped driveway thing, right? And the horse was in the front.
Was it Turnpike? All of their stops are removed.
That was a controversial thing.
Yes.
So what happened, because, you know, the other team in Ingress was using it as a farm, right?
Yeah.
And what happened is that my understanding is that in Pokemon Go, all these kids were out in the street doing the whole, like, catching and the raid and stuff. And so somebody on our team was over there, and the neighborhood people were complaining to our team about, like, why are all these kids on the street? Like, this is not safe, this whole thing. And so our team was like, well, you know, and they were kind of like, you're right. Like, you're not supposed to have stuff in the medians. So they submitted stuff for removal, and it got removed because Niantic looked at it and, like, yeah, it's not supposed to be in the middle of the street. And the other team got livid. And they were like, you're only doing this because you can't win in it, you know, and they're ticked off about it. And they think that it was only done to push them back. But my understanding is that the whole thing was initiated because when Pokemon Go was a huge thing, people actually were asking, like, why are all these people standing out in the middle of the street when I'm trying to, like, drive into my house and all this stuff? So.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day. Yeah. I drove through and I'm like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, no, but they added a couple more at the park there, though.
Oh, so there's only, for Pokemon, Pokemon, there's only three at the park.
There's like a million of them at the
park.
But,
like, yeah, Ingress, there's like probably 15.
Anyway. Let's move on. Enough local politics. But it's the interesting nature of juggling a network that functions both in your PvP game and your PvE game.
Honestly, why do you think I partly quit?
Oh, no, I get it.
I got completely tired of just all the stupidity. It's a fucking game.
I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I'm just kind of like, I'm starting to, like, fail to, like, see the point in this. Like, I'm definitely getting to that point where I'm like, how do you defeat that which has no life? So I kind of, like, stop caring.
Yes.
On one end, I kind of like...
How do you win something that has no intention of having a winner?
Right. Well, that's why... But I do get into the in-person events. They do, like, those anomalies and things like that. And those do have winners, and I like those better. And then you actually get to see people and be social, and it's a lot more interesting.
I hate competition, honestly enough. I was just doing it because it was fun for a bit, and then when it got competitive and there's, like... You know, top secret, you know, groups and everything. I'm like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, when you have retired people that are driving around at 3 a.m. in their van with like 20 people, like, just it's just not.
There's the James Bond element of doing stuff in secrecy and the planning. I actually kind of dug that, but it is one of those things where it's like you're starting to kind of look at this and go, but beyond the social part, which is still cool, what's the point?
There's this thing called having a life.
It's true, but it's okay. It's okay, Jamie. Like, if I want to just, like, I just want to get in the car and go for a drive and have my moment of zen. I've been doing that a lot late at night lately where it's like, I'm just going to go chill, do some Ingress, take some portals in my neighborhood, and, like, go on a drive, just clear my head, get out of the house. And, like, that's my approach.
I usually end up buying stuff.
What?
I usually end up buying stuff.
See? I buy gas, but at least I drive a hybrid. All right, we need to move on, though. Let's move on to another story. Speaking about spending a lot of money on something, right, Darkstalker?
Right. This game is common as fucking dirt. Super Mario Brothers. Everyone has had multiple copies, I'm sure. Even if you never have owned a Nintendo product, you probably have had a copy of Super Mario Brothers. I'm just saying. Well, there is a particular, though, one, an unopened copy that originally released in 1985. It's a particular sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers that recently sold for $100,150. It was bought by a group of collectors who include some owners and chairmen of like Heritage Auctions and Just Press Play Video Games in Lancaster, PA, and another video game collector, you know. So, but basically the whole thing about this particular one is it is a sticker sealed copy that was only available in New York and Los Angeles. So we now have, you know, one of the highest sales of a Nintendo game topping $100,000, which still, I would like to sell my Final Fight guy and my Mighty Final Fight. I could get a couple grand for the two of them together. So, anyone got $2,000 to want to buy my games?
You got to put them out there, though.
I give them to listeners first. Listeners get first crack at them.
Fair enough.
If you got $500, you can have a box Ninja Gaiden trilogy. Just saying.
But $100,000, I mean, I feel like recently we had that Stadium Events just went for like, was it like $60,000 or something? Sorry, well, I don't remember the, but it seems like, wow, the amounts of these games are going way, way up.
Well, and see, here's the thing. Dan and I were talking about this. You know, we just bought games that we liked. You know, if they happen to have the box with it, cool. If we got the box independently afterwards, cool. We have the box. But now, like, the market is just getting stupid for classic games. It's kind of why we're not collecting anymore. You know, like, every so often, I'll go get something classic because it's fun. Like, for Dan's birthday, I got him two classic games. I got him the Treasure Box for PS2, which is basically Gunstar Heroes, one of his favorite games. And I got him a Salamander Deluxe Pack. Thank you to Akuma JP. Dan loves it. But, you know, I got Dan, you know, a couple of amazing games that are fun for him to play. You know, if I can get my hands on a Radiant Silver Gun and not break the bank, that would be rad too. But the fact is that these games are becoming so valuable. The market is really becoming just cutthroat lately. And pinball is the same way. Like, a couple of our pins that we had in the past, we, you know, wouldn't have gotten more than a couple grand for them. And now we could easily get like $5,000 for some of them. It's absolutely ridiculous. So just the gaming market itself has gotten kind of nuts.
But before you go crazy thinking you have a $100,000 copy of Super Mario Brothers in your house, it is a very specific, I mean, they printed that game like 14 different times. And I'm just talking about the original, like, I think most people owned Super Mario Brothers in a combo pack with Duck Hunt or maybe the World Track Meet as well. This is not that.
It's no, this is the pre-pack-in sealed copy.
And it was only available, this particular like first pressing was only available in New York and L.A., which was kind of like the soft launch of the NES.
Yeah, and looking at this one, I mean, it is, hold on, let me see if I can get the image pulled up. It's on CNET posted on Twitter.
But you never know what you might find at a garage sale or things like that. Because I know the video store by my house back in the day. I remember they rented a copy of Stadium Events because that's how I knew about that game. So they had a copy of Stadium Events. Lord knows whatever happened to that cartridge now. I'd love to know. But for all I know, they got rid of it in like a mass onloading to another store somewhere.
I'm going to be completely stupid, but I'm going to put the picture up on the feed.
Okay. Do what you need to do.
Can you see this?
Yeah, it's coming through a little bit. Yeah.
That is the copy.
So it's a little picture for, I mean, I don't know how to describe it for the podcast folks.
In the Twitter feed. Good. Not the Twitter feed, but it's there. And I'll go ahead and repost it on my own Twitter. So there you go.
Questbuster points out, so now you have a lot of bad actors getting in on sealing their copies in plastic and posting them on auction sites for 10 times the average price with a dubious rating. Yeah, when I bought a copy of Clue for the Super Nintendo sealed at the farmer's market, it had been resealed because when I opened it, like I didn't actually think I was getting like a sealed copy. I just thought it was kind of neat. But you noticed the notes in the back of the manual had already been filled out.
Yeah.
So somebody like resealed it, which I thought was a little shady.
Mm-hmm.
No. Anyway. All right. Well, Darkstalkers, sadly nothing worth $100,000 in your collection, but still,
girl,
some good stuff.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. No, seriously, maybe.
You need to go through and audit it.
Well, that's probably what I'm going to do. But, I mean, the thing is that what something is worth is what you get for it. In terms of financial.
True.
You know, but now that I'm seeing, you know, when we first were thinking about, like, offloading our Ninja Gaiden trilogy, it was going for about $350 in the box. I've seen auctions for that exceed $700. And I'm asking $5. So, I mean, if I get close to that, that'll be great. It'll put me closer to DragCon.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck. Well, moving on. We have a few more stories before we get to our classic game of the week.
Yes. So there's a little bit of mixed messaging coming from Sony regarding their cross-play enabling. So Sony, of course, you know, their official announcement was, you know, hey, we're open for business for cross-play between PlayStation 4 and other consoles. Although devs that have been inquiring into it seem to be getting a different message. So, for example, one of those devs would be the dev for Wargroove. They had commented saying, you know, just
which is not a music game, right?
No, not.
I was sad to find that out. I thought for sure. I was
it
like,
looks
oh.
very much like a.
It's like an Advance Wars.
Yeah, like
tactics.
An Advance Wars sim game.
Yeah, it's a tactics game.
So, you know, they said, you know, just wanted to provide some balance on the issue and say it certainly isn't a question of developers having not contacted their account managers or having dropped the ball. We were told no. So basically, you know, they had run it up the chain and were denied. They said, you know, it's time to stop playing favorites and tear down the crossplay progression wall for everyone. We have Smite, Paladins, Realm Royale ready to go when you are. So, yeah, it's kind of weird to see that, you know, they're sending out messaging saying, oh, yeah, it's these devs that are holding it back. We're cool with it now, but no, that's not the case. So I think there may be a little bit more that they have to do. Maybe they're just not, I don't know, but... It doesn't seem like we're getting the full story from Sony regarding this stuff. So if you're wondering why your favorite game isn't cross-platform yet, maybe Sony's fault.
But I think I didn't expect all this to happen in the next couple months anyway. I knew they were going to get the big ones like Minecraft and Rocket League. I knew that would happen pretty quick. But as far as like other games, it would be things that were like starting development now that would be released. Like we would really start to see more cross-play in like 2020. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When those games start coming out. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, one more story for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week, and it has to do with some classic soundtracks. If you're a Spotify user, I don't know how else to describe this, but a shit ton of soundtracks from Capcom games were added to Spotify this week. So if you search for Capcom Sound Team, you can find soundtracks like Mega Man games, although they might be listed as Rockman, because obviously that was, you know, gaming soundtracks were kind of bigger in Japan, so a lot of the Japanese names are there. But also like Street Fighter V soundtrack is there, Devil May Cry, Monster Hunter, various soundtracks and so on. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff to listen to if you are a Capcom gaming fan on Spotify. So I actually have the pay Spotify. I use it a lot. Sadly, I haven't explored a lot of the Capcom stuff yet, but they're getting up and up on the video game soundtracks on there, I gotta say. There's more and more things to enjoy on there. I know a lot of Final Fantasy related things are there and other stuff as well. And certainly I listened to the new Utada Hikaru selections from Kingdom Hearts 3 because she had put that out on Spotify, so that was nice too. Act Deft asking a related question, when are we getting OLR on Spotify? I'm hoping soon. I still am in dire need to do a behind-the-scenes switcheroo on where we're hosting our files and things like that. I actually really needed to do that like a couple months ago, but I've been so focused on this whole Twitch move thing and some other personal stuff. But I'm hoping soon. So I didn't want to do the Spotify thing until that part's done, and then we'll submit to Spotify after that. But I think Bobby Blackwolf's up on there if you want to check that out. I'm sure there's lots of other great podcast indie stuff on Spotify as well. All right. Anyhow, let's get to... the classic game of the week, where
game last time for games.
Dark Sakura usually steps into the gaming vault every week to find a game that she thinks, "Hey, we should check out this game this week." But once a month, in a 2019 twist, she says, "You know what? You should be checking out this soundtrack instead." So it's the classic soundtrack of the month.
8-bit.
Sorry, 8-bit specifically. What'd you pick for us this week?
I picked the soundtrack to Journey to Silius.
This is a deep cut. I like this.
Which, not really a game that I've enjoyed very much. It's okay. It was actually meant to be a Terminator game, but it was released in Japan as a game called Rough World. And, of course, we got it out here as Journey to Silius. And I'm not going to go into the game because it could be a classic game and I don't want to shoot myself in the foot. But the music itself is really what's remarkable about it. The music was composed by Kodaka Naoki, along with four other composers, and he used a really interesting approach to the music. So the bass sounds were sampled, and it gave a lot more detail to the music. And some of the songs were, of course, meant to resemble Terminator music, because... at the time, they were aiming for a Terminator license, and they never got it. I mean, it came out in 1984.
Yeah, I think there's actually a little clip from a magazine where it was previewed as a Terminator game in a magazine, and obviously that's not what we got.
Although there is a hack out there where someone tried to redo it as a Terminator game. I mean, it exists now. But there's also a sound test that's hidden on the title screen that if you press the B button 33 times and then pressing start, the sound test, the screen will show up that gives you also an option for number of continues to have to play with. But the music in here, I just thought was really good. It was fairly unique. And I mean, it is one of those LJN games, you know? And we know what LJN is good for. Barf. I mean, it was an okay game. It really was an okay game. But the music is really what drives it for me. So if we'll play some of this is like the third stage music. Or like the home base music or something.
Mm-hmm.
But do we want to...
I can't okay. change the volume after the fact. It's in the video. Well, but they can. It should be strong enough in the background for them to hear.
But at any rate, there you go. This is my chosen soundtrack, 8-bit soundtrack for February.
Awesome. Good pick. And because when I wasn't really thinking about the soundtrack of this game, but it certainly has a good story behind it. And yeah, the music is very good. I mean, this is just one.
But you can hear that bass, though.
Yeah. This is like stage 3 or something, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the music in this game is pretty good. So,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is one of those soundtracks that I can just sit and listen all the way through. And like I said, I don't really care for the game. But the music is amazing.
DJ Roma S points out this was a Sunsoft title.
Oh, that's right, Sunsoft, but still.
I was going to say, I thought, yeah, but a lot of Sunsoft title had really strong music. A lot of, like, Blaster Master had a freaking phenomenal soundtrack.
I don't know why I thought LJN.
Yeah.
Oh, because LJN got the Terminator license.
Ah.
That was it. LJN got it. And, of course, you know, LJN, everything they do is they did.
All right, well, there it is.
But, yeah, but just one other thing about this one is that the other sound producers for programming were Hada Nobuyuki, Seiya Shinichi, and Morota Naohisa. So, there you go.
All right. Your classic soundtrack of the month, Journey to Silius. Not the Terminator, but it could have been. And honestly, if it was, we would have at least had a great game soundtrack based on a movie.
Right.
All right. Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick studio break here. And while we take a quick break in studio, I want to go to a little special segment I taped earlier, doing a little playthrough on Tetris 99. So I thought we'd take a little look at, I'm sure a lot of you have played it at this point, but if you haven't had a chance to play Tetris 99, we're going to take a look at it. And for those listening on the podcast feed, I do my very best to talk a lot through this. So it's about 6 or 7 minutes if you want to check it out, or maybe you just want to skip ahead to when we come back here on Orange Lounge Radio. But let me go ahead and kick it over to me earlier. Hi there, it's Rob, and we're on an in-studio break right now. So I thought during the break tonight we could take a look at this game that a lot of people are talking about this week. It's Tetris 99. It was announced as a surprise release during the Nintendo Direct, and it's available for people that have the Nintendo Online subscription, trying to sweeten the pot a little bit outside of just the NES flicks and those types of things. So this is Tetris 99. Again, it's like a Battle Royale type of game, but not a shooty-shooty bang-bang type of thing like Fortnite or Apex Legends or what have you. Instead, it's a puzzle game. It's Tetris. I think a lot of you know what Tetris is. I think you've probably played Tetris before. It's only one of the most popular video games of all time. So, and instead of 100 people, it's 99 people, but close enough, right? So this is it. I mean, we're looking at it here on the screen, and you know, it's tracking my level. I've played a little bit, so I'm level 4 right now, but it doesn't really tell you what your level is for. It just shows that you have a level, and I noticed that it does have my name from my Nintendo account, and right now my icon is a little sprout, so I'm assuming that maybe like as I grow in level, that icon will change as well, and maybe that'll affect who I get matched with. I don't know. I'm sure other people there have figured out the science and all that, but I haven't yet. Otherwise, you really have some bare-bone options here. You just have options where you can go in and do the settings. These are very standard, you know, Tetris options. Do you want to use the hard drop, which is where you can press up to actually drop the piece really fast, or not have that enabled? And then you can change your control type from a couple different ideas here. I'm actually going to use the Pro Controller for playing this tonight. I have a Splatoon Pro Controller, so one of the handles is green, so it's funny on the video. It ends up being see-through, but what can you do? So I just tend to use the standard stuff. And then otherwise, the game does track your stats. It'll show you, you know, like how many different types of lineups you've got and like what combos and how long you've been playing and so forth. But it doesn't really show you a lot outside of that. It's pretty bare bones. So let's go in and check out the actual Tetris 99 and play a quick game here so you guys can see what it's about. All right, so right now you can see it's actually matching
all these other people. That's what all those other windows are in the background here. As it counts down, it's trying to, it'll give us about, you know, 100 seconds or so, I'm assuming, to actually find a match. And here we go. It's going to get started here in a minute. I guess it's probably syncing everything up. Hopefully I don't lose my online connection. There we go. And look, oh my God, all these people attacking me all at once. You can. I'm using the left stick to control who I want to target, but you can also use the right stick where I'm going to target these people attacking me. Screw them. So let's see. I'm going to try to hold bricks. So you can hold bricks just like you could in the other variants of Tetris, including Tetris Effect and some other versions of the game you've probably played. Now, ooh, I'm not getting the greatest pieces in the world here. And you'll see, yeah, I walled myself in a little, but maybe I can get myself out. There we go. I'm getting there. Oh, ah! I hit the up button too easy, and I accidentally dropped a piece too soon, and that is not going to be good. That's one thing you got to be careful with in the Pro Controller. Wow, I'm usually not this messy. It's only because I'm recording it that obviously this is a little bit of a nightmare right now. Let's see. I want to get my bar in here to try to... Now I'm just kind of in cleanup mode. And you can see that one person, two people still have me targeted. So you can see those lines that are coming in right now, which I think has been a meme that's kind of been around online is, you know, showing all these people targeting you and, oh crap. But you'll notice with the right stick, you can actually choose what you want to do. Do you want to... I did it again. I hit that up button too easy. I think that's one of the problems using the Pro Controller. But anyway, with the right stick, you can kind of choose. Do you want to do the people attacking you? Ooh, I knocked somebody out. Do you want to do just random people? Do you want to do people that have the most badges? Who is it that you want to target in your quest to be on top of the heap? So right now, it looks like I'm up to 73 out of 98 people still in the match. Not... That, or 98 people were in the match, so one person must have had a connection problem, because usually you get 99. That's not too shabby, considering I'm playing really sloppy here. And I do blame the Pro Controller and how easy it is to hit the up button as a part of that. And I'm also just getting pieces I just don't like. Ugh. What a mess. I'm sure I'm being made fun of in chat right now. Ooh, you know what? I knocked somebody else out, so it's not going that bad. I think right now I'm kind of doing like a, I feel like this is what you would call on a reality TV competition an under the radar type of strategy. Like, I'm doing okay, I'm keeping myself above water, but I'm not doing well enough where the other players are going to attack me. Because I'm pretty sure the most common thing people probably set their R button to is attackers. They want to attack the people attacking them. Well, if I'm not clearing a lot of lines, I'm not really attacking a lot of people. So therefore, I'm not getting a lot of BS coming in. Of course, as I say that, I'm getting targeted by three people now. But so far, so good. We're in the top 50, and you'll notice the music kind of picks up a little bit the further you get into the game. Uh-oh. I've got a big mess coming in soon. All right, this might be where I need to try to work myself down a little bit. So I'm trying to work down right now. So you can see, just like in the Game Boy version of Tetris, as other people... Uh-oh, it went red. As other people drop lines on you, it starts to just fill up the screen. Oh, fuck. I hit the up button. That's going to kill me. Yeah, that took me out. Oh, well. But you can see, so I ended up ranking 30th overall in that, which isn't too shabby. I still leveled up out of it. And you can see not only, you know, as the other people kind of finish where they stand in the ranking, but then you can kind of go up and down this list, and you can actually see there's somebody I KO'd. So I got you, Dr. Z. And let's see, I think there was a couple others too. So Dimension D, whoever that is. And then poor Ray in 98th place. But hey, at least it wasn't the bottom of the barrel because there were 99 people playing. So anyway, if you haven't seen it yet, there's a little bit of what Tetris 99 looks like. Obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of Tetris Attack, so, or excuse me, not Tetris, well, I am a big fan of Tetris Attack, but Tetris Effect, I've been a big fan of that and talking about that a lot on the show. So it's kind of interesting. We have these two big Tetris games, but they're very, very, very different approaches. This is, you know, that kind of battle royale multiplayer, you know, attacking each other deal, which Tetris Effect made a conscious decision to really not do any of that whatsoever. Whereas Tetris Effect is really about kind of like, you know, the mode and the ambience and everything, which this is a very kind of bare bones version of Tetris. So anyway, but I really enjoy it. I think a lot of people are kind of picking this up and they're probably playing it for just, you know, a couple minutes at a time, because that match really didn't take that long. That was probably about 5 minutes at most. I mean, maybe if I did a little better and I hadn't kept sliding my thumb accidentally over to the up button, which kept, maybe that's why in the options I should actually consider keeping that hard drop off. And then maybe that wouldn't happen to me so much. I don't know. But anyway, I hope that this game just kind of continues to grow and that some of the rumors about additional modes that are being data mined and things like that end up being true, because I think it'd be a lot of fun to keep playing for that multiplayer Tetris experience. So Tetris Effect is more from that single player getting in the zone, and then this is very much multiplayer. But it would be cool to have reasons why I'm leveling up and have the ability to play with friends and do some more matchmaking like that. Kind of some of those more modes you see in Fortnite. But, you know, for a game that you're getting essentially for free with a Nintendo Online subscription, you know, to play things like Mario Kart Online and stuff, it's really not that bad. So there it is, a look at Tetris 99. So let's go back to tonight's episode of Orange Lounge Radio in the studio.
Thank you, me. It's me here in the studio and continuing on with tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. I hope you enjoyed that little look at Tetris 99. That was the first time you'd actually seen that, right, Loki? Because you downloaded it, but you haven't really played it, right?
Yeah, I haven't played it.
What'd you think?
It looks fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll probably
fun.
Play it.
Darsakura, you didn't seem as keen on it.
I hate competition. Uh-huh. I really don't like competitive games, and this just doesn't sound at all interesting to me. If I'm going to play Tetris, I want to fucking play Tetris the way it was intended by my fucking self.
Well, and you know, and I tried, go ahead.
I used to do Tetranet, but I was still didn't get that overwhelming, people are going to ruin my fucking game by playing. You know, even when I play Puyo Puyo, I play by myself. I'm just playing against the computer.
Well, and I think, you know, and as I tried to kind of point out in the video, I think that's why this can coexist with Tetris Effect, because I think Tetris Effect is like, that's your game, because, and to be fair, I as much as I've enjoyed Tetris 99 as kind of like a sideshow, I think Tetris Effect is still like, that's the Tetris. If I just was like, I want to sit down and like play some Tetris, I'm going to play Tetris Effect, because that's the one that's really going to immerse me in it. It's just kind of like, but if I just went, I need a 5 minute distraction. I need something akin to a cell phone game. Mm-hmm. I just want to play for a hot minute. Tetris 99 is really good at filling that void, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know what, though? MN Zeba in our chat is kind of with you, Dark Sakura. MN Zeba says, this is really fun to watch, but I would never be good enough to play. I'm sure you'd be fine. You do better than poor Ray did in that video. It's always inevitable. Like, at least if you can get through, like, the first few blocks, you're not going to be 98th or 99th. It's the same thing in Fortnite. I think there's people that try to be 100th place in Fortnite or something, because I feel like even when I played Fortnite, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I still was able to get up into like the 60s just by like running and hiding.
Well,
in
right
houses.
Because you have people like my son playing the game, and so I mean, it's like anybody can beat him.
Yeah, right. Let's see. And Bobby pointing out that we both used our own Twitch streaming setup to show Tetris 99. Yeah, kind of funny. I have another word. Something a little different. I was trying to figure out, because obviously Jamie's here in the studio tonight, and we've been using the classic game of the week ever since we moved over to Twitch. We've kind of been using that to sort of bridge between the two parts. And the other time Jamie was here in studio, we actually had that listener email that kind of helped us bridge the parts. But I would like to, in the future, and just throwing this out there for all of you out there who are streamers on Twitch or whatever else, we would love to get like 10-minute segments of you featuring like a game like in your backlog, especially indie games, other current games, like just talking about like why you enjoy it. Obviously, we would prefer you don't do like retro stuff, because Jamie's already doing a classic game of the week, but we would love to see like maybe, you know, indie stuff or just stuff that maybe you want more people to hear about. If you just want to do like a little 10-minute segment, like I think we're going to be looking to put more things like that in our break space. But if we don't get a lot of submissions, then I'll start to attack my Steam backlog and play other random stuff. We'll see. We'll try to fill that in with other fun stuff. But all right. Anyhow, Let's move on. We've got some more news to get into in a segment called Rapid Fire News. So I think Loki start us off.
Yep, there's a game that's coming out pretty soon in April called Dangerous Driving. Now, Dangerous Driving is a game by Three Fields Entertainment, who did Danger Zone and Danger Zone 2. You may remember those as kind of Burnout-esque. It's I think it's actually the old team that did the Burnout series. And so Danger Zone was more like the crash mode in those, whereas Dangerous Driving is like the traditional Burnout type game. And so it's actually going to be, they said that they had a preview of it that was unlockable at the end of Danger Zone 2 that you could actually drive in there. And I got to say, by watching the trailer, yeah, it's just straight up cop in Burnout. I mean, it's, yeah, it's like almost like Burnout Takedown all over again. So Dangerous
Driving. Good, because I miss those games.
Yeah, Dangerous Driving is going to be available digitally for $30 on April 9th, and then they're also doing a physical version for consoles with, it comes with Danger Zone 2 for $39.99.
I really, if the theme song is not Danger Zone, I'm going to be very upset.
I don't, well, Danger Zone was, it's a different game, and I don't think they had Danger Zone.
Well, that could be the theme song to everything, but I do love the name, Dangerous Driving.
Dangerous Driving,
it's
yes.
Dangerous.
And then, of course, Microsoft is pushing out an update for their Solitaire games, which, you know, they've been...
Like Solitaire, it's on every computer?
Yes, so Klondike, Spider, FreeCell, Pyramid, and TriPeaks, all of those are getting a leveling system, so you can actually level up in the game by playing more of the game. So, neat... That's kind of odd.
What would you do for a Klondike level? Because Klondike salt, forget it.
Yeah, I got it. It just wasn't funny.
Fair.
But you're going to get experience points and rewards, and it's also meant to track your progress, and you're going to have new badges and stuff to go along with it. And if I remember correctly, I think these are free anyways. They come with Windows 10.
Well, yeah, it's like the quintessential Windows thing that's on every computer. Yeah. All right.
I'm not playing this, though.
I've peeked at Solitaire a couple times. I think I looked at some of those Microsoft, like, Windows 10 games because they had achievements in them. And I was like, what easy achievements can I get on, like, Wordamint? And I don't know. There's a few free things in the...
Minesweeper.
Yeah, Minesweeper has achievements and stuff. So I was like, what easy achievements can I get? And I've gotten a few, like, low-hanging fruit achievement points on games like this. And I'm sure this whole RPG Solitaire, leveling up in Solitaire, is going to add more easy achievements and things to, you know, just inflate your E-peen, which is what it's all about at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Exactly. Anyway, we've been talking tonight about some Battle Royale games. And, of course, now in 2019, you can't talk Battle Royale without mentioning Apex Legends, because that has really taken over. But some data miners finding that perhaps there are some new modes that will be coming to Apex Legends. This is a Fortnite data miner who turned their sights on Apex Legends, who found references in the code to a solo mode and two-man squad mode. Because right now, Apex Legends, part of what makes it a little different is that it's a three-person.
Yeah.
You play in squads of three, and that's actually part of the reason why I've been a little hesitant to play it. Because I don't know what the frick I'm doing, and like the tutorial only gets you so far. You don't really get to practice in an environment with people, so I'm a little nervous about getting in there with like real people. But I guess my understanding is there's a lot of idiots that get in there and don't know what they're doing, so maybe I'll be okay. I don't know, but I would love if there was like a solo mode that I could kind of poke around in first. I'm not opposed to playing on teams. I just want to know what the fuck I'm doing before I do it, and I feel like the tutorial, while it's kind of good, is not good enough for me. And then one other little tidbit about Tekken 7, which is a game I still need to pick up. I really do. Darksoccer, you were kind of into Tekken 7, though, right? Didn't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you were checking out the new one. Must have got you confused with somebody else. Anyway.
I'll be honest. The last one I really enjoyed was Tekken 4.
Okay. Yeah. I honestly think a lot of people are kind of with you. Like, the early Tekken games, like, they haven't played one in a while. But I heard this new one's good. Like, Tekken 7's pretty good. It's a good place to pick up. Well, some new DLC characters are coming out on February 28th, including Julia. And the very hyped Walking Dead crossover, Negan, is coming to Tekken. And that is on February 28th. So not too far away from that.
I did want to do the whole Geese Howard thing, because that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, because Dan and I just went on this rampage of just watching all things Geese Howard. It was pretty funny.
I didn't know there was that much Geese Howard stuff to watch, but then again. You know, I got that. I thought I sent this to you too, Jamie. I don't know if you ever installed it or what, but Twitch was giving away a bunch of old SNK games or something at one point.
And, I already had them all.
I figured that was going to happen, but I was like, well, if anybody's going to like this, Jamie will. But you can play like Fatal Fury Special, which is awesome. So, yeah.
I also have several, I think, copies of Fatal Fury Special.
That's cool.
And I think it's either Fatal Fury Special or Fatal Fury 2 that I actually have on Neo Geo.
Yeah, that was like my favorite like Street Fighter knockoff. Well, besides, I guess, Mortal Kombat. But you know how SNK had a ton of those fighter games? That was my favorite, was Fatal Fury. Anyway, Dar Sagro, what do you have for us for Rapid Fire News?
While I am not a fan at all of VR, there are people out there who are. Five Nights at Freddy's is going to be doing a VR that lets you repair the animatronics. So, I'm sure that there will be people out there who will enjoy being a repair person and playing it in VR, while, you know, potentially being murdered by the said things that you're repairing. But it is, it's called, Five Nights at Freddy's VR Help Wanted. Only right now listed for PS4, but they're expecting other outlets, and it should be out in 2019 sometime.
Hey, look, it's a game you can play, Rob.
I will not be live streaming this game.
Well, that's okay. I will never play it.
Why would you want to repair them? Leave them broken. Don't repair the demons.
And another VR game is, and honestly, I'm not like super excited about Harmonix anymore, but Harmonix has announced a game called Autica that's a VR rhythm shooter. And it looks like you basically just pick different targets and you shoot at them with your virtual move gun dildos. So, and I guess it changes the notes or changes the music around. So I don't get why they couldn't have just done this with a controller. But,
well,
VR, I hate VR. I hate it.
But to be fair, okay, you have, and this is understandable, but you have physical challenges to VR.
Not just that, it's annoying.
Why?
I just never have enjoyed it.
I hate to say it, I think you're tainted because you...
I had that one game that I liked at Gamer X.
But you have the physical limitations, and I think, of course, and that's understandable.
But I don't like having to wear something on my head to immerse myself in a game.
But that, it's not going to be that way forever.
I would rather have the holodeck. I would be happy with that. I don't like having to wear this heavy, painful thing on my head to immerse myself in something when the sensation of having it on my head takes me out of the immersion immediately.
Well, what about, since you brought up Holo, what about like something like HoloLens, which is more like glasses, and it's not like a heavy component on the head or whatever?
I'd still be able to not be immersed.
Hmm.
It's just, on top of that too, I mean, it's just also very overstimulating. I really do not enjoy it. The only reason I liked that one game that I played is because the color palette was so limited in it that it really didn't hurt my eyes too much to play it. But I still felt out of the environment. I could still hear everybody around me. I could still feel everything around me. And the difference between the two is really unsettling for me. So I hate VR. I really hate VR. Mm. And if other people like it, good for them. I hope you guys enjoy these games. But
I mean,
certainly not me.
I think something like, well, talking about like why can't the games exist on a monitor, I think a lot of people have been asking that question about something like Beat Saber, like why can't that exist in a monitor space? But I know there's a lot to do with not just about like hitting the note on a line, but it's kind of part of like the depth perception, and that kind of plays into the actual mechanic of the game and the finesse of following through the moves and so forth.
Honestly, it's very obvious that these games are invented by people who have no concept of what autistic people live with. So,
I would hate to find a study that shows that perhaps there are those types of folks that work on these games, because that would be contradicting a bit.
Except that a lot of problems that we have also have to do with depth perception and overstimulation. And a lot of these are highly bright light with no way to get away from it unless you take the thing off your head and leave the game. And I can't see how any of this would be friendly to autistic people.
I'll be curious to see if anybody's possibly done a study on that. So, all right, well, let's move on. We want to travel around the world and check out some release dates and check out some games that are coming out soon to a console near you. Starting off with the U.S.
So we have 8-Bit Adventure Steins Gate coming out on Switch, Death and Request on PlayStation 4, Steins Gate Elite on PC, Switch, and PlayStation 4, and yet another Steins Gate game, Steins Gate Linear Bounded Phenogram on PC and PlayStation 4. And then we've got Origami Shadow Edition on the Nintendo Switch, and Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And oh my god, we're already here! Anthem, coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. It's like, it just snuck up on us. Hopefully it doesn't suck.
I'll just let that moment of silence speak for itself.
That's it.
Oh, okay. Traveling to Japan and checking out the release dates over there, starting off with the PlayStation 4 on the 21st of February, we have Gaikuten Saiban 123 Naruhodo Selection.
I know that is.
What is... No, I actually
That's
don't.
Phoenix Wright.
Oh, is it? Oh, so it must be... Oh, so they're putting the Phoenix Wright games on PS4.
Right, I just said the Phoenix Wright trilogy's coming out.
Got it. Okay, makes sense. Sorry. All right, cool. Also coming out, Soekano Gaito Dakishimete in regular and limited edition. That's from Entergram, so I don't think that's anything that they have over here. Also, NG is coming out from Experience Inc., and a re-release, I believe, of Nier Automata, because it's a game of the Yorha edition. I think that's they're using like Nier speak for that stuff. That is coming out as well. And I like this the name of this game. Daito Shokan no Hitsujikai Library Party comes out in regular and limited edition. It makes me think of that. What was that horrible show?
The show on MTV.
Quiet Library.
Quiet Library.
Which I'm sure had to have been ripped off another country's television station or something.
It was awesome.
It couldn't have been a concept that they came up with here. Quickly looking at the Switch, that same Phoenix Wright collection is also making its way to the Switch in Japan this week, and a game called Girls und Panzer Dream Tank Match DX in a regular and special box.
I bet
edition.
That's an awesome box art.
Mm-hmm. We'll just leave it at
it's,
that.
It's probably tank girls. Like, they're literally tanks.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the ones where, like, they're literally jets.
Yeah.
So why not?
Why not? Why not? Well, why not? We love the Guardian Legend, and that started Jet Girl. So why not? All right.
Yes.
We did get the Guardian before Jamie Hewlett gave us Jet Girl.
All right. Moving on to Europe, though. Dark Saga.
So for European releases, we have, let's see, on the, is it, okay, on tomorrow, the 18th, which is already, oh, it's never mind, it's a pre-order, whatever, for Steins Gate Elite. On the 21st, we have Origami Shadow Edition, the game that shall not be mentioned, also on the 21st, Dirt Rally 2.0 Deluxe Edition. 8-Bit Invaders out on February 25th. And let me see if I've got any... Oh, that's next week, so never mind. I'm not going to talk about the game that shall not be mentioned.
All right, then.
It's Anthem. I hope it fails.
Yeah, I have some thoughts and feelings, but we'll move on. We'll move on to your thoughts and feelings in our mailbag segment, because every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com is the place to send us an email, which I just realized I left out of the little sidebar, but oops, that happens. But I'll say it again, participate at orangelaunchradio.com. And I think we have...
I mean, we're on episode 764, so I mean, really, like...
We did change it like 500 episodes in, though, because we were getting inundated with spam.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
Well, I'm sorry that you've only known about it for, you know,
like
a few
years
yeah. now.
All right.
Sorry.
Regardless, Dark Soccer, you're here. Yeah. I think they showed you mercy tonight and only sent one email.
It's a big one, though.
All right. Well, it's somebody I enjoy hearing from, though.
Yes. Hey, OLR crew. AZHP here. I have been really behind on podcasts. Me too. And as a result, every time I hear something on the show I want to write about, I think they've probably forgotten they've said that already. I guess I won't bother writing in. Well, this topic is no different, but it was so important I felt compelled to write anyway. A few weeks ago, you mentioned that a Chrono Cross concert would be held for its 20th anniversary in Japan. initially brushed that off as, ha, too bad, it's in Japan. And then I realized I had bought my wife and, okay, it's not my wife and I, it's my wife and me, or myself. That would be grammatically correct. Tickets to Japan. You don't say I would buy, I bought I stuff. You say I bought me stuff. Just saying. Tickets to Japan for not one week ago, owing to the fact that nonstop flights were $655 from SFO to ANA. An unbelievably low price for that airline from that airport. We were scheduled to be there for 2 weeks in November, and so I checked, hoping against hope, that the tour would be there when we were. The dates line up, and I am going to be hitting F5 on that page for several months until the ticket sale date is announced. So thank you so much, OLR. You let me know about an amazing event for a game that was super important to my childhood, one with the best soundtracks in gaming history. And besides that, you know, it's not me if I don't do grammar corrections. Please don't take it personally. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Speaking of Chrono Cross and its music, a new free-to-play game came out on phones in America recently called Another Eden, The Cat Beyond Time and Space. And yes, I know about it. And yes, the music is good. It is. I haven't started it yet, but I listened to some from the game.
Sorry, what was it called?
It's called Another Eden, The Cat Beyond Time and Space.
I don't know that one. I'll have to check it out.
It was not only written by the writer for Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross, but the main theme is composed by the composer for Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross. The game is thematically very similar to Chrono Trigger, and the music is like a love letter to Chrono Cross, with the instrument selection and keys of the songs closely mirroring that of many songs in Chrono Cross. The art is gorgeous as well, and the writing is some of the best writing I have seen in a JRPG, phone game or no. Random side quests, which in any other game would have been a crummy thrown-together story, are rich and compelling in Another Eden. The gameplay is traditional turn-based RPG, JRPG fare, which and mostly in service of delivering the story, which I have no complaints about. And most importantly, the game, despite being free-to-play, has no paywalls. All of the amazing story can be completed with the default characters in the game, although you can buy loot boxes if you so choose to obtain stronger units. From what I have heard, they are only necessary for clearing endgame content, which has no story in it. And there are no timers or limited events or anything else to distract from the experience or make you pull out your wallet. I will admit that I paid $24 for one-time guaranteed 5-star unit that they were selling as a launch promotion, which I feel is a fitting price to pay for this game. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with tipping a little coin in if you enjoy the game, support the developers,
right? It's your money, your decision.
Yep.
You don't have to justify it to anybody. No guilt, no shame. I honestly think that this game was a passion project for the developers, and most likely the only way they were able to get the game greenlit in this day and age was to design it as a free-to-play game. By the way, one thing, Rob, Frog is in the game.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
As his original name, which right now my brain...
It was Glenn, wasn't it?
Glenn. Yeah, yeah. I think he's in there as Glenn.
Well, unless that was a translation thing, but I believe in the U.S. version it was Glenn.
Let me get back. Oh, design is a free-to-play game. Okay.
Because that was the name of my ex. That's how I know that.
Well, we don't talk about those things, do we?
It was a long time ago.
You know what? Sometimes exes are like ill-fitting underwear. You just have to throw them away. As much as gamer opinion is negative about free-to-play mobile games like this, when the quality is this high, I'm glad that the model exists to bring quality content like this to the market. The game has been out for 2 years in Japan and appears profitable, has won game awards for innovation and creativity. I'm looking forward to experiencing this for myself and recommend any fan of Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross. Sorry for the lengthy email. I just got so excited thinking about Chrono Cross and had to write in and ramble about it. Oh no, am I getting old now? Yours truly, AZHP.
We all are.
Do not even. Girl,
or as Dark Soccer might say in another time and place, girl.
Oh, my levels of girl now have been elaborate. I will leave it at that. Especially right. Watching the end of Drag Race.
All right. But we can't talk about Drag Race now because we did get an email this week, so we'll have to save it for another week.
It's done.
But there it is. That's it for the emails tonight. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your email, and we would love to hear from you in a future week. In the meantime, let's go to Loki with our next story.
Yes. So they're doing some updates. Red Dead Online. They've basically got some new stuff that they're going to do to fight griefing in the game. So haven't really actually got the chance to, I don't know, like honestly, Red Dead Online seems very boring to me versus, like, say, Grand Theft Auto Online, where you actually have, well, they've been adding, like, go-karts and, or not go-karts, RC carts into the game instead of, you know, stuff. But what can you really do with horses? Except unicorns and stuff. Actually, you know what? I take that back. You know what they could do is they could do the whole Undead Nightmare stuff because that's...
You can eat horse.
Yeah, I think you could do that in the original game, too.
But don't you want to... You don't want to eat zombie horse, because then you would turn into a zombie, right? You don't want to eat zombie
flesh.
What if
you turn into a zombie horse?
Ooh.
Well, some...
You turn into a zombie centaur.
So, they're doing some rebalancing of the weapons in the game as well. So, this update's coming out on February 26th, and it's supposed to add new daily challenges to the game. On top of that, they're working on some of the griefing that's in there. But really, like, what is there to actually do in there? They're saying minimize certain destructive player behaviors. So I guess...
Well, they don't want to tell you what they're doing because they don't want you to go do them before they fix them. That's why they're not being very descriptive on what players are doing to grieve each other.
Yeah, so basically the system, the way they describe it, is kind of like Grand Theft Online's mental state mechanic. So... The way that worked was, like, if you were an asshole online and several infractions would put you in with the asshole pool, and so you only got to play with assholes for a few weeks. So, like, if you were a cheater in the game, you got put in with all the other cheaters and you had to play with them. It's like, okay, you're in your own playground with those assholes. So now they're going to do something similar to that. In Red Dead Online, they're also going to be doing bounty hunting as well. So that apparently if you're overly aggressive and break the law often, you'll have a bounty put on your head, which is, I think, also similar to Grand Theft Auto. I know they have a bounty system you can do with that as well. Yeah, and some new weapons. I don't know. This isn't really getting me to jump into the game.
Well, Fantaz in our chat at VOG Network on Twitch said, I just bought Red Dead Redemption 2, went on sale, finally. So, you know, some people are...
The single-player game I hear is really good. I still haven't played through the whole thing because it's just... There's a little too much survival in it for my taste, but I do need to go back. I never really finished Red Dead Redemption
either. You wanted death?
Well, I wanted...
Give me death or don't give me a game.
I wanted, like, Grand Theft Auto in the Wild West. I didn't want, okay, I have to buy some... I have to eat, and I have to sleep, and I have to... No, that was not in Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's what my real life is for, is
exactly. Like, I don't want to have to, like, you know, take baths and, like, you know, like, shave myself in the game. No, seriously, these are all things you do in the game, because you get smelly, or you have a beard and
stuff.
Do
you have to wash your balls? Is that...
Well, you take a bath, and if you play your cards right, you can get a woman to wash your balls in the game.
Well, maybe I don't want a woman to wash my balls.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they have men that wash your balls in there. I haven't played the game enough, but all right. I know is, like, they have you can do that, but I just don't want to do all that crap. I just want to play a game where I shoot things and run around and do crazy stuff. That's what Grand Theft Auto was. You know, you do... And I had a lot of fun with Grand Theft Auto because I didn't have to do all that bullshit.
All right. Let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, it was in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. You could eat, work out. In Grand Theft Auto 5, you shower. Was that a thing in Grand Theft Auto? You play those games more than I do.
Well, showering...
It was a sideshow type of thing, right?
Showering, you could do... Like, I know you could shower in Grand Theft Auto Online, and then they had a funny thing where if you sing in the shower, you get extra experience points. It's basically making any noise in the shower.
I see.
But they also did that, too, with, like, the strippers and stuff, too. You could talk to the strippers, and
it would... says you shower to get the blood off.
Oh, okay.
That sounds so appealing. All right. Let's move on to something a little more wholesome, please. Can we talk about Minecraft? Wholesome, fun for the whole family. Minecraft, there's another update for Minecraft where I guess fans are kind of taking this on. A little snapshot update went into the game, and paintings can, I guess, animate. So paintings in Minecraft before used a single texture, and now modders allowed the paintings to change. So they've done some creative things with this by basically making TVs. So, but the TV, like, images and files, they get really big because they're, you know, they got to have, like,
Yeah,
all the way it's drawn out. And everything.
They just ping files it.
Well, they're not really compressed, I don't think, in these types of formats anyway, either. So they get really big. But I thought the one that's highlighted in this particular article I'm looking at that I thought was very meta and funny was from a Reddit user named Hope Abandoner, who made a pixelated Minecraft YouTube video of somebody playing Minecraft. Get it?
Yeah.
So you can watch. Yo, dog, I heard you like Minecraft. So now you can watch Minecraft while you Minecraft. So I just thought that was pretty clever.
I like the Gravity Falls pictures. Those are really nice looking.
Yeah, apparently, though, those files are, like, gigantic, again, because they don't really compress. Like, it was, what, 100 megs of space for, like, 30 frames? So you can't – you're not going to – although that didn't stop – somebody put B-movie in Minecraft because, of course, they did. There's just certain things you always know people are going to do, and putting B-movie is going to be one of them. Anyway. Minecraft, good times. You know, a buddy of mine started a server, and there's, like, a lot of people playing on it, and they've done a lot of cool work in there. And then I log in, and I'm just lost. I'm like, these guys are pro Minecraft, and I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, well.
We need to do our server, the Fog server, and then they'll be all screwed up again.
I know.
But yeah. We need, like, to do, like, I don't know. I want to do mods again, but, like, we need to have, like, some more survival server where we actually work together to do something, because
it's Loki's plain vanilla server with 5,000 mods on it. All right. Moving on, let's talk about Minecraft is educational, so let's keep it educational. Dark Sakura.
Well, this actually is coming from, like, a paper in Texas, but some students at Texas A&M boosted students' scores in calculus by making an educational video game. The game is called Variant Limits, and it connects the way that math and the gameplay work together in this 3D environment. And they use geomagnetic storms that threaten their planet's survival, and so they have to solve a series of increasingly challenging calculus problems. And so as they could apply it into their game, it made the concept work in real life or on paper for tests or whatever. So they had some students play for like 8 hours a day. And they were fine. They got more out of it than they did by studying their textbooks.
That's a lot of play.
And it became really fun.
Then again, I know people that play MMOs that much, so I guess I can't talk.
But they said that 22 to 38% of university students, depending on their preparation, failed calculus at more than 200 colleges that participated in a particular study about this. So they are hoping they're actually going to be showing Variant Limits at the Texas A&M Powerhouse. Hold on, let me see. Yeah, in the Texas A&M House at the upcoming SXSW Interactive Festival in Austin, Texas on March 10th through 12th. So there you go.
I was kind of wondering if, like, a regular person could get their hands on this game just to maybe help their own knowledge if they want to learn a little more about calculus.
Well, the study itself actually took place in fall of 2018 that involved more than 2,000 Texas A&M engineering calculus students. So half of them played Variant Limits, and the other half just had to do normal study.
Right. Well, yeah, you always have your control group.
You have your control. Yeah. But 79% of the students agreed that the game increased their knowledge limits, and 83% reported they were able to apply their knowledge from the game in class. So, there you go.
Cool.
Oh, and also, the students performed well regardless of racial or gender identity.
Well.
Which I think there's no problem, but this is Texas.
So, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so I think it was worth mentioning that they threw that in. Yay, okay. Texas.
Go figure. All those sorts of things have no difference on your capability to understand math and learn math. Yeah. Go figure. Who knew? Obviously, /sarcastic. But I still think it's pretty neat that a video game is being used to, teach at, like, this high of a level. Like, you know, when we think of the educational type of games, we think of, like, Oregon Trail, Number Munchers, and, you know, that. But it's kind of neat that gaming as a teaching tool at this complex of a college calculus level, which I don't know about you guys, like, I learned a little bit of that math stuff, like the high-end stuff, but I don't really, despite the fact they're always like, oh, you'll use this, you need to know this because you'll use
I was too busy programming games on my calculator.
Okay, but I like don't use
I
like call AP calculus. I don't use it in my
life. I never
real
took
life.
Calculus. When I was taking algebra in college for my major,
mm-hmm.
teacher puts up this whole big diagram on the thing. Like, you're having to figure out a perimeter banner for this board, and you're missing this calculation. What do you do? And I just said, I'll ask my client. And she just looks at me, and I'm like, is that really what you would do? I was like, yeah, I'd ask my client. They're supposed to get me all the measurements. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I would say algebra you use, maybe even a little bit of like the geometry, maybe trig.
I've had to use it to do an accruing calculation in a number spreadsheet because I had to put in the equation.
I do think if you can prove that you can use a computer to answer all your questions, that should be, you know, but I don't know. We need to teach
people in office spaces to learn how to use a VLOOKUP in Excel because, my God, I've had so many people. Can you bump this Excel file against this other Excel file? Can you just type equals VLOOKUP and then, you know, just do that yourself?
People only know what they know.
People need to learn that you need to learn how to move with the times, and just because you've always done something one way doesn't always mean that there's not a better way to do it, and that you should be willing to adapt and learn different things that are going to increase your productivity and make you work smarter, not harder.
All right. Let's move on and two more stories for you guys. So going to Loki.
Yes. So this is kind of a funny story. So Valve had to update the Steam VR API because apparently they were having some tracking issues with some games because people were moving so fast. So, for example, they were tracking the movement from people playing Beat Saber, and there was some issues where, I guess, the Lighthouse tracking sensors were misinterpreting where the position and movement of the players were. And apparently they had to add some sanity checks to prevent things from going wrong. So, like, for example, one of the things that they tracked, there was a person moving at 3,600 degrees per second, which is the equivalent of moving your wrist 90 degrees in 0.25 seconds. And apparently they never guessed that people would be moving that quickly, so they had to update it to fix it.
Beat Saber kind of rewards you for that type of intense move it because you get more points if you kind of complete the motion, or I think it's more the starting motion. You make a motion to slice through, because if you just sit there and go,
it's funny that in their changes they list, they'll increase the limits of what we thought was humanly possible for controller motion based on tracking data from Beat Saber experts.
Interesting how that game has really had an impact on the VR scene. But I mean, it's a great, I mean, as far as like, you know, music gaming and stuff go, it's a great, great. I love that game. But obviously, the experience on PlayStation VR is very different from the Steam, because, you know, all these mods and songs at this difficulty level and stuff don't exist on PlayStation. PlayStation is hard enough, though, in my opinion. I can't clear the advanced stuff. I can clear, like, the mid-level stuff. But that's about it.
Well, they need better tracking controllers, although I've been seeing patents online for new Move controllers, so maybe those are coming down the pipeline.
I'd kind of be curious what they have in store for PlayStation 5, like, if they're going to go further into VR, but then, obviously, you know, and
we've got to buy a whole nother headset.
Well, right, and I'm sure Jamie's not alone in the whole, like, I don't want VR to be the future of gaming. I need to hear what, you know, traditional television displays are going to do as well. So they have to kind of be thinking about both sides of that, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how this works itself into being integrated into the next series of PlayStation as opposed to, like, an add-on, you know. Or maybe it will continue to be an add-on. We don't know. Hmm. We don't know until we start hearing some secrets, so. Bobby Blackwell says, don't bundle it with the PlayStation 5. And he says, I love VR. I hope Sony doesn't do the same thing Microsoft did with Kinect. True. I think that's a very fair point. Because, again, I don't think Jamie's alone in the whole, I'm not interested in VR. There were a lot of people that are like, I'm not interested in Kinect. And so if you were to kind of like force bundle that, you're going to absolutely be like, why am I paying this extra money?
Or overly inflate the price of that stuff.
Exactly.
It'd probably keep me from buying it.
Right. But I think still Sony's still got to be thinking about, okay, well, I mean, just like oh, I don't know, this is probably going to be a terrible example, but like Nintendo would sell you the base Nintendo, but they also had the version that came with the Zapper, and they've got to be thinking about how that would all kind of work together. So it doesn't mean just because I'm saying...
I just hope there's backwards compatibility with the old hardware, because I can understand like putting out new hardware that's nicer.
Oh, with VR?
Yeah, with the VR. Oh, yeah. It's just I don't want to have to buy like a headset right away, and also like for whatever games that they're going to put out for it.
But I'm just saying, they don't have to force bundle it, but I'm sure they've got to be thinking about what is the path of this look like and where is VR going to fit into the entire PlayStation ecosystem and that sort of thing. Yeah. And that, you know, that isn't necessarily just VR, but could be just Move by itself for some things, too. And it could
just
be...
get away from Move, because Move is old. That's from PlayStation 3. I mean, come on.
All right. Anyway. Let's move on to something we're not going to have anytime soon, but this is one that you should file under rumor, but it is one of those things that also kind of adds up and makes sense, so take it for what it is. But it has to do with Mother 3, and we've been, you know, wondering, where the hell is this?
I don't think it's ever coming.
It's a long time. Well, this is a Game Informer senior editor, Imran Khan, talked about the supposed inside story on what's happened with Mother 3. Nintendo was apparently considering localization of Mother 3, and they were like, really, they were going to do it. Like, they were very gung-ho about it, but they went back, they took a closer look at the game, and they had some question about, some controversy about certain elements of the game. And so they decided not to localize it.
I thought this was already out.
Not in America.
But I know I did. I meant this information. I thought this had already been talked about, like, right after the game came out in Japan.
Kind of. I think people have always assumed that that's part of the reason why it never came over here. But this is more kind of playing into its confirmation that Nintendo looked into doing it, wanted to do it, and kind of hit that same conclusion that probably people were thinking when the game first came out, is that there's no way this is going to fly in America.
I already have my fan translation, so I'm happy.
Right. But it also goes to show that Nintendo didn't want to edit or censor it, and probably they didn't want to spend the money to go back and, I guess, for lack of a better term, fix it either. So they just decided, we're going to leave it where it is, and that's that. So. All right. Anyway, that's sad, though, because that's something I would have played, but I guess I can't. All right. Dark Tetsuya is suggesting you need to go look at our Discord if you haven't already, Loki, because there's been a lot of talk about backwards compatibility on PlayStation 5.
No, I've seen... We talked about that, like, a while ago, like, about how they had the different, like, patents for, like, backwards compatibility and stuff like that. The patent doesn't mean anything. I mean, and I don't want to even think about rumors and speculation about new consoles right now. So, like, I'll believe what's, you know, told to me from Sony themselves once we get there.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. We are going to make our way to Discord. So we're going to set up in the Discord space right now. And if you want to be on the show tonight, all you have to do is join our green room. And then we will be taking calls shortly on Discord. Except, this has not happened before. I'm having a problem connecting to Discord right now. Oh, there we go. Whew. Phew. Got a little nervous there. Discord wouldn't take...
It's like the opposite of Skype. I heard you talking about it, and it's like, oh, I better fix myself. Not like, oh, you're talking about me. I'm going to break now.
Right? I was getting nervous there a little bit. All right. Anyway, we want to get to some calls here. So if you want to call the show tonight, you should make your way to our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. And I think we have a very familiar face already in the green room waiting to go to be on tonight's program. So let's get to our first call tonight. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Uh-oh. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? I'm a little concerned because do you see on the Discord it says one bar with voice connected? So, like, don't have a very strong signal. And I'm a little worried that maybe we are not going through where the caller can hear us. Or perhaps that we can hear them. So I'm going to try to fix this here real quick. So while I do that, Loki, do you have any like last-minute stories we could get into?
Yes, apparently the Evo Japan live stream, we had some apologies for the Dead or Alive 6 stream being cut off because it was too sexy, apparently. So during the stream, they had two Japanese models goofing around between rounds. when the Dead or Alive 6 producer and director Yohei Shimbura was setting up the match, and it included clips of the girls jiggling their butts and boobs to mimic the soft body physics in Dead or Alive 6. And shortly, shortly after that, they had the free cam mode in the game, zooming in the girls' butts when they were wearing swimsuits. But that's really kind of the heart of Dead or Alive 6. So, yeah.
All right, we're going to try it again because I see a green signal there, so hopefully it's going to work this out. You know what I did? I turned it off and then on again, so let's see if that fixed it. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, Bobby Blackwolf. It's nice to have you here.
Hello.
Hey, sorry.
I also turned off my Twitch stream, so I don't know if that helped.
It may have. I don't know. We were having – it was weird. Discord was showing a very weak connection, so I turned it off and then on again, and now it's showing green, three bars. So knock on plastic. Hopefully it will stay connected for us. But you're always great in having us on your show every week, so I'm always delighted to hear you call in to us. What's on your mind tonight?
So I wanted to fill in some of the blanks about Autica by Harmonix.
Sure.
So the VR game, I know you guys covered it a little bit, but you didn't actually talk about what it was. And the reason they did not make this for controllers is because you already own this game on controllers. It's a carbon copy of Elite Beat Agents or Re-Rave or any of those type of games where you're using fingers, like mostly on DS, but like the arcade games where you're using your fingers, except this time you're actually just pointing and shooting. So it's a game that already exists, and they're adapting it for VR and calling it their own thing.
That sounds – yeah, and I know we kind of ended up driving down a different path when we were talking about the Autica. So for me, I love Elite Beat Agents, and I just wish that series would come back truthfully. But I'm curious to see Harmonix's take on it. I mean, I also understand the concern that Harmonix is kind of – they've kind of been in a really weird place lately. And I was certainly not a big fan of the Amplitude reboot, but, you know, not every game is going to be – a five-star winner. So I will approach with cautiously optimistic about what this game could hold.
Well, and my thing about Harmonix is that I think they're in worse shape now than they were right before MTV bought them. I think they were left worse off. And so now they're like a smaller indie studio than they were when they were doing Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Right.
So they really need to, you know, they need to take some of these risks like this because nobody really cares about them anymore, and they're not the big AAA developer that they used to be.
That's true. Although I didn't mind a lot of their AAA stuff. I don't think that, but I mean, you know, I think in general with the rise and fall of Guitar Hero-esque type of games, you know, obviously Harmonix kind of got sucked into that, whether they deserved it or not, with that whole thing. But, you know, they have, what was that game? They were testing that one game that was like a fighting game. And then they decided abandon
that.
It. And I was kind of sad to hear that because I thought
that's
there was a neat
cool
idea there. But I guess they felt it wasn't fun at the end of the day or what have you. And these things happen.
Yeah, I think that was Chroma.
Yeah, that's right. Chroma. Yeah. That was it. That was the name of it. And Shad Leland's in our chat mentioning Drop Mix, which that is really cool. But that's not a video game, but it's obviously heavily inspired by that, but as like a board game and the whole integration with phones and everything, Drop Mix is really brilliant. Honestly, it's a brilliant game.
Yeah, and I actually have some of those exclusive cards from PAX. So
nice.
A listener sent them to me when you wanted them to, and I'm like, I got them.
Well, it was never for me. It was for our collector friend Shane over there in chat. I think he ended up getting it one way or another.
Okay. Yeah, but I just wanted to fill in the blanks on that. All, you know, that's why it's in VR, and I am someone who likes VR, and I'm going to say something controversial here. You know me, my controversial opinions.
Sure, go for it.
Is that I am of the belief that not every game needs to be playable by every person in the world, and so I understand that there are some people like, you know, somebody made the thing, amputees can't play DDR, even though, yes, on the console version, you can play Button Revolution on a controller. But, like, I do love the blind community that we have here at Vogue, and I respect them. But even I don't think – I think they would even say not every game needs to be made to be playable by someone who's blind. So I respect that there are people that have different advantages and disadvantages to playing, but I don't think that every single game needs to cater to everybody, because then we'd only have one or two types of games.
Let me give a tiny needle back, though, on that.
Okay.
Because it's not that I disagree, because obviously, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's kind of like you mentioned with, like, the DDR and everything, like, is that, like, you know, there's you want to try to open your game to as many people as possible, I think, certainly, mm-hmm. but sometimes just due to the delivery mechanism that just may not be possible or what have you.
I think mm-hmm. we need games made only for autistic people and not NT people.
Cool.
If we're going to be excluded from everybody else's games, why shouldn't other people be excluded from our games by that same logic?
To be fair, it wouldn't be all the... But I would support that, honestly. But I don't think autistic folks or any of the other things we've named are excluded from everything.
I was using the same logic.
Sure. But the other thing, the thing I want to kneel back on was, what about, like, difficulty? Because I know we've had a lot of, like, jokes and things about how you don't like to play games that are difficult because mm-hmm. and so we talk about how, well, when there's a Bobby Blackwolf mode in the game, that makes the game more accessible because now it's something that, like, I feel like I can play and I can, like, I can do. Isn't that kind of an accessibility thing too?
And I am totally fine with me being excluded from the Souls genre.
Okay. Yeah, and to be fair, I don't really care for the Souls games either.
Yeah, but I mean, I am totally fine with there being a challenge for people that want that challenge. I don't want to take that away from them.
Right.
And, you know, that is a principle. Like, let's take the Souls series. You know, that series is predicated on it being overly difficult. And if you make it accessible to me, you destroy what makes those games the Souls games. Whereas I understand, like, I know the later Mega Man's added the easier modes and stuff, but that doesn't necessarily destroy inherently what Mega Man is, where the Souls games were built around, this is difficult. And I'm okay that that's not for me.
I think at the end of the day, you know, in the games industry, in especially in the case of, like, a AAA studio, you're going to live and die by your sales. And if mm-hmm. you exclude a certain segment, no matter what, how you're excluding or what it is, whether it's difficulty, whether it's disability, if you exclude a certain segment, then you're going to affect your sales. But depending mm-hmm. on what kind of studio you are, if you're like an indie studio, and maybe you do want to make a game that only a very specific set of individuals are going to be able to play, then that's awesome. That's cool. And, you know, everybody should support the ability of that to exist. But it is going to impact sales, and you kind of just have to know, like, I'm not going to sell 11 billion copies of this game because I'm going against mm-hmm. or I'm going only for this one little market, if that makes sense.
Well, and that's what Bungie wants to do with Destiny 2. They want to make it more accessible to the hardcore. Activision reportedly wanted to sell a billion copies. And so that's mm-hmm. why there was the disconnect there. And Bungie's like, we'd rather sell less and deliver an experience for the hardcore that Activision wouldn't let us do.
Interesting way to bring it full circle, how this is kind of impacting many corners of the industry, for sure. So I think I'll leave the discussion at that. But Bobby, anything else you want to talk about or anything you want to plug while you're here?
Well, I am on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel right before OLR. So come an hour early and hang out with me in the pre-show for OLR.
I always do. Sometimes I'm distracted by the smell of food getting brought into the house or what have you. But yeah. I always try to catch the Bobby Blackwolf show when I can. So,
all right.
All right. Take care, Bobby. Thank Thanks for calling.
See ya.
See ya. All right. So if you want to call in the show tonight, our green room's currently empty, but you can join the green room over on Discord, and we will try to bring in some more calls. Some interesting comments in our chat room. VG Realness in chat says, another good example of, quote, not for everyone is Dream Daddy. That's for a specific market. If they made it for everyone, the game wouldn't be the same. Interesting, because it's almost like you kind of flip that, and sometimes where, you know, I feel left out sometimes as a LGBT plus community member, is that in some games, you know, when you have a create your own character and you can do whatever you want, but you can't do this thing romantically that is me, you feel like, I can play the game, but can I really enjoy it? Can I connect with the game the same way somebody else can? Maybe not. So that's why you hear a lot of social justice people, I'm using my big quotey fingers for those in the podcast, complaining about that sometimes, because, you know, it's representation. It's important. And that's in all sorts of things. Anyway. Let's see. Kaijuda says, I always say if everyone has a hammer, you can't build a house. Everyone has to have different tools. Hmm. Questbuster says, not a huge fan of permadeath RPGs, but not going to argue that other people can't have them. All right, let's move on to any other last-minute stories we might have tonight from either Darksakura or Loki.
Apparently, Crackdown sales are down, so Crackdown 3, they're saying that way down, only about 10% of Crackdown 2 sales.
That's not good.
They said in the launch week, it sold only 4,000 units in the UK.
I was like, is that 10% of lifetime sales, or is it 10% of the same week one figures?
I think it may be week one. I don't know. But they, I don't know if that's even accurate. I don't know if the game sold as well, but I think it's going to sell okay, I think.
You also have to consider, and Jamie, are you trying to get a comment in on this or another story?
No.
Okay. The other thing to consider is that Microsoft is also selling this Game Pass thing, which is very important to them and what they want to do. And
right.
People that are getting this game on that Game Pass are not going to be counted in this.
And
so
I think
you need to consider some of those things too. You meaning the internet, not you, Loki. But, armchair critics on forums in this need to consider there are more ways that games get delivered than just what it used to be, too.
Well, there's other games coming out, too, this week as well. Metro Exodus came out the same day. The new Far Cry game. I don't know. I don't think it's such a big deal. We'll see. Whatever. I mean, it's Crackdown. What do you expect? It's not like, you know, it's just Crackdown. Every Crackdown game is exactly the same.
Yeah.
We're not breaking the mold or anything. It's just Crackdown.
Any other last minute stories? Jamie, Loki, anybody? All right. Well, our green room's pretty quiet, so I think that might be...
Someone call.
Do it. Some weeks are crazier. Is there something on TV tonight?
I am here.
Why are you
not talking to me?
I'll talk to you. What do you want to talk about? Stuff?
I probably want caffeine.
You want caffeine?
Yeah, but I'm probably going to get a soda because it won't hit me as hard.
The coffee from earlier wasn't enough?
It was a decaf. Because I'm not supposed to have caffeine, but you know what? I love caffeine.
Yeah.
And I have a headache.
Same thing. My doctor told me I was supposed to stop drinking coffee, and I was like, so that's not going to happen, so we need to negotiate. And she kind of laughed and was like, all right, well.
Also, just to point out.
We got another green room, but go ahead.
Well, just a point of education. If you are prone to kidney stones, don't drink fucking Airborne. Vitamin C will lead to a buildup in your kidneys that leads to, guess what? Kidney stones.
Is that specific to Airborne or like vitamin C supplements too?
Vitamin C supplements as well. Because after my surgery, I was told basically I can only take vitamin C in very limited doses.
Interesting.
Because it will make you more prone to kidney stones because it leads to deposits.
Hmm. But those like Airborne and the emergency and that stuff is just like, it's just like thwacking your body with a ton of vitamin C all at once.
And second of all, there's absolutely no science behind it doing any good. It's all conjecture.
All right, let's get to another call here on the show. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Ron. How is everybody tonight?
Hi.
Fabulous. How are you, Ron?
Why are you not sharing any okonomiyaki with me?
I tagged you. That's the best I could do.
Yeah, but that just means you need to send me a ticket so I can go out there and eat okonomiyaki.
Well, I think that may happen. I'm just saying, given the news that I told you, anything could be plausible.
Ooh.
You know, like for 3 years in a row, I've been talking about this is the year I'm going to have to come to New York City. But seriously, now that they're putting Jagged Little Pill on Broadway this fall, that might be the thing that finally breaks me.
I'm waiting
me.
For Beetlejuice.
Oh, are they doing a musical out of Beetlejuice?
They're doing a Beetlejuice musical.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm still waiting for the second movie.
I thought they weren't going to do the second movie now.
No, I think they are.
Well, I hope so.
Of course, I'm waiting for Bill and Ted 3 as well.
Oh, yes.
Anyway.
Although Alex Winter does not look any different and Keanu Reeves never ages.
All right, I'm sure Rama didn't call in to talk about Broadway tonight.
Well, maybe it's because Keanu Reeves is a vampire and he turned Alex Winter, so, you know.
What would you like to talk about tonight, Rama?
Well, I was going to say, you know, even though the Beetlejuice musical is not us, but we do have Beetle House. It's an amazing restaurant. So if you do come out here, you got to bring Jamie. You got to bring Loki. You got to bring the squad out here. There's room in the luggage.
As soon as we have time and money, done. Oh, and a sitter for Loki's kids. And a sitter for my cat and Jamie's too.
Dan can watch Midna.
That's true. Alan can watch Smush. He doesn't need to go, right?
Nobody's going to watch my cat. She's going to die.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. All right. So
you should tell your kids that if they watch your cat perfectly, you'll take them back to the broccoli farm. But this time you actually take them to a broccoli farm.
Nah.
Good.
All right. What is actually on your mind tonight, Rama?
All right. We've always talked about games and so forth, but there's some gaming accessories we haven't really touched on. So I want to talk about this new amazing gaming chair that I went out and bought, and this thing is amazing.
Oh, yeah, I saw your chair, yeah.
All right, so this is an unpaid promotional spot. No, I'm kidding. What's the chair? Tell me about it. I didn't see this.
Well, about a couple of years back, going through cheap $40, $50 chairs, you know, to relax in, I'm like, I need something, you know, for my back, something better. So I went looking. I'm on a budget. So I got, like, this decent chair by a third-party knockoff company, whatever. I paid maybe about $150 shipping. It was nice for a couple of years until the gas cylinder started to sink. So one thing about these gaming chairs, they say that it is rated for a certain weight. But it's like, well, you know, long story short, I can't replace like the cylinder and the parts on it. So last Thursday night, I'm going through different sites for gaming chairs like DX Racer, Alpine, Opseat, Secret Lab, and a bunch of others. So I decided, you know, looking at my budget, I dropped maybe about a little bit over $200 for this chair by Opseat. Comes within a day, and it takes me like a half hour to assemble it, and it's just comfy as all hell.
What makes it a gaming chair?
So it's like racing chairs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gaming racing chair, like bucket seat style sitting, you know. It's like if you're sitting in a race car, more or less.
Well, sometimes like a gaming chair, as I've seen sold, is like this like overlay you put on your regular chair that's just there to vibrate your ass. That is what like I've seen those gaming chairs. Oh, it's vibration for your ass. That's
no,
what it does.
You need to see no. The chairs they do for racing rigs that have full on hydraulics built into them.
Well, I've seen some of the stuff your husband built.
Those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a hydraulic chair for playing Starblade.
That sounds kind of fun, though. You've joked before that you live in New York City, so you obviously don't live in a gigantic space. So this is something that's kind of, you're able to fit it in a smaller space even.
Yes, and I'll say it once, I'll say it again. My studio, which is smaller than a studio, it's an efficiency. It's probably about the size of the studio you're doing the show from.
Which would be like the family room in a house.
Yeah, I mean, I have a galley kitchen. What more does that tell you? But on the plus side, directly to my left is the fridge, and right behind me is the microwave, toaster oven, and the coffee maker. So it's like one-stop shopping.
I get it, though. I mean, that's big city living. I mean, a lot of my friends in San Francisco in a similar thing, so.
Basically.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rama, thank you for the call, and thank you for talking about a topic we don't always talk about, but the accessories to the games, and not just the games themselves, but the things that power them and make them more entertaining and vibrate your ass. All right.
Well, I can get something separate for that, but I will say this. I'll say this. When it comes to various accessories, I mean, I understand a lot of people were on budget. You don't want to spend too much money. I mean, yeah, I spent $150 on this chair that started to fall apart after a couple of years. Mind you, like a third of the cost was shipping. I paid, honestly, $229 for this chair, and I got next day shipping because of how close the warehouse is. But I've been getting nothing but great support through the people for any issues, and it's very simple to put together. There are some things you really shouldn't skimp out on because it lasts you a lot better in the long run. I get that there are some chairs that are like $300, $400, $500. They come with 5-10 year limited lifetime warranties. I'm just saying, if you're going to invest in something, I'd say if you're looking at like the cheapest, go up a couple of notches and go from there. You want to invest in something pretty well. And I have to say, there is a major difference between the prior chair that I had for a couple of years and the current one that I'm in. So. And my back has never felt any better.
Loki found a picture of the chair for me, so I'm able to look at it. And for the podcast folks, it kind of it has like definitely like two big like they look
it's
like
the
pillows,
lumbar cushions, yeah,
that,
yeah, that and the headrest
support
cushion.
For like your back it, and your
it's
butt.
It's your typical like yeah. you know, almost like a DX Racer chair type thing.
Yeah, but that does look comfy. So if I come to New York, I'm going to come sit in your chair.
Absolutely, you can enjoy the throne. I will get you the Bugs Bunny throne, everything. And you can sit there and be like, when people say, "Who the hell do you think I am?" You can just look at them like, "I know who I am, but who is you?"
Sounds like a plan, Rama. Pleasure to have you here as always. You take care, buddy.
Always, you take care, bro, and you all stay awesome.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Always a pleasure to hear from Rama. I think, though, with that, we will start to wrap up. So I'm sorry to those that didn't get through tonight, although there was nobody else in the green room at that time. So I don't think anybody else tried. But if you do want to, you think of something after the fact, you can always send us an email, participate@orangelaungeradio.com, or you can always tweet us at twitter.com/OLR. There's lots of ways you can reach out to the show. And yeah, it's always a delight to hear from listeners. Hey, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only air those voices if they're out there hearing us. So, yeah, tell a friend. Leave a nice five-star review on a site like iTunes. That goes a long way as well. We also really appreciate all the follows and the hosts over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And, of course, the biddies and subscriptions are great, too. Although we never want to beg for your money, I will say it does go to good use. So appreciate that as well. With all that, I think we're ready to go around and get final thoughts. So I'll start with you tonight, Loki. What's your final thought as we bring things to a close here in the OLR studio tonight?
My final thought is I would like to stream more this week. It's just I have to cook several days now. I've got barbecue chicken wings I'm making, and my wife wants me to make her matzo ball soup. And
That's good, though.
And some other stuff, I'm sure. Always something comes up. But I'll try to stream some more this week. Maybe more Crackdown 3. Skyrim eventually. Then I realize all this is taken away from game development time that I should probably be doing, since you guys all keep bugging me about game development. So I tried doing that at, you know, my son's coding class thing, but it was packed, and like it was pretty uncomfortable just to work on you know, with where I was sitting. So I just kind of, because the sun was like coming in through the window blinding me. So I just kind of gave up on that, but we'll see.
My final thought, and then we'll get to Jamie. My final thought tonight is, I've had a very busy weekend. So I've had a show Friday, a show Saturday, a show tonight. So I'm ready for a day off tomorrow. So hooray for a 3-day weekend. And, I've also been very bad at the streaming thing on my personal channel lately. So maybe that's something I'll try to do tomorrow. We'll see. Stay tuned. To Twitter is a good place to follow me, over at Mr. Rob Roberts on Twitter. Last but certainly not least, Dark Sakura, fantastic to have you here in the studio tonight. Always appreciate you being here and your perspectives and all that good stuff. Can't wait to have you back full time.
I'm looking forward to it.
And that's only what, like 2 weeks, right? Or
yeah,
three?
A week after next.
So that's great. So really, you just have next week off and then you're back for good.
Off.
Well,
working.
Sorry. Off this. Yeah. Sorry, but yes.
But I am tireder than a white suburbanite mom of three with her glass of Franzia. Tip it right now. And I am still planning on doing Jamie Cheats to Win. I need to find the Eddie Guerrero theme song for this. And I also have to clean off the floor in my office so I can use the TV in there. But Jamie Cheats to Win is going to be a thing. I'm also deciding if I want to do Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, or if I want to do like debug Sonic.
Why not both?
Because I'm going to do something that's going to be fun first.
Do them all. All the things. Stream all the games. All right.
Maybe.
All right. That's it. We're on out of here for tonight. We will see you in 7 days. At least Loki and I will be here then for whatever happens in gaming news next week. It was pretty busy this week, so we'll see what happens next week. Lots more stuff to talk about, I'm sure. Until then, happy gaming, everybody. We'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.